Welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeed.
Any hole. I'll take it in any hole.
866-901-ADAM. That's the phone number. Let's see. We will be speaking to Super Bowl quarterback Matt Hasselbeck.
Today. Super Bowl winning quarterback?
I can't remember how the game came out. Teresa's ex-boyfriend, Brandon, is coming in. Now, a lot of the exes who have come in over the prior days have been, it's been exciting stuff. We've learned a lot about Teresa. Brandon, however, this is a new wound. This is fresh.
Yeah, it's about 2.5 months old, and he is very nervous about coming in.
You can look back and sort of laugh at almost any tragedy that comes upon you, but when it comes to relationships, most of the time people have a sense of humor about it. After the relationship goes, some time passes, you have a few more relationships, that kind of stuff. But, what you do is, if you have a current or an ex in between you and the last one, you're fine. As long as your ex was your last one,
you're not
there's
fine.
Trouble.
Yeah,
so if you're currently with somebody and then the one you dated last is your ex, that's cool. Or if you dated and dumped or been dumped and there's someone in between. But as long as the last person you dated is your ex, then that's bad times.
I know.
Hard to get over.
And that's where Ray comes in.
Well, what is this Brandon afraid of?
He's just really nervous because he's not a professional radio personality, and he's just really nervous, and it's kind of a fresh wound, as Adam said.
He's afraid Brusca's going to do him harm?
I'm not going to do him harm.
We'll take it easy.
I'm going to tear the chump apart.
We'll take
it. Brandon's not the only one who's nervous. Teresa's very nervous.
I'm nervous.
All right. Well, we'll take it easy on him. Don't worry.
Okay.
So he'll be in later on today. We'll
Molly's in. She's licking my feet.
Friday's bitch bag. Is on tap for today. I brought my dog Molly in because she's going to help us do some NFL picks, as well as Jesse Jane from Playboy TV. See who's better, and Damashek and myself.
I'm 0-1, by the way. I picked against my beloved Steelers. What a mistake.
I feel like you did that to hedge your bets emotionally.
Never.
Yeah.
Never. I've told you, Ace, you and I think are on the same page on this one. You and I have friends who bet against their teams.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, we have some Patriots/Red Sox friends.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is named the sports guy, Bill Simmons.
Right.
And the other is named Kevin Hench, because they should be publicly shamed for this.
Yes.
They bet against their team money. They stand to gain from their team's
and that's morally bankrupt to you.
Yes. Mm. I was trying to keep it real. I thought that Chaz Batch being installed for number 7, Ben Roethlisberger, was going to be too tall an order. I made a big mistake.
This will be the last game I win, but the game sort of laid out exactly how I thought it would, which is I said Pittsburgh still has their defense, I believe I said to you. So
you did.
I didn't understand. And I also said the way their offense is constructed, it's made for a guy to come in and have, 20 attempts and throw for 140 yards and still win the game. I got a great defense. I got a great running game. He's just going to come in. I sort of thought that he would be doing what Big Ben did his first few games after went down.
Tommy Maddox.
Maddox went down, they brought Big Ben in, and they said, just don't give up the ball, don't throw an interception, let the defense will win it, we'll run the ball, don't try to do it yourself. And Batch did a little more than that, but he did an excellent job and is now 3-for-3.
That's exactly how I felt when Little Richard didn't think Leah Thompson sang well on Celebrity Duets last night.
All right, so I have I brought Molly in to do some picks, and I thought the thing that's nice about being a dog is Molly sleeps on the bed, but on the feet all the time. She's at the foot of the bed every morning. Then I get up and I leave. And Molly will come downstairs if I cook. If I cook breakfast, if the skillet gets heated up, if some bacon gets fried or sausage or some eggs made, she'll come down to the kitchen to investigate. It's not the kitchen is not close to the bedroom, but she will find her way to the kitchen. If I'm eating cold cereal, she's not. There's no taker. She's there. And so she sleeps, and nine days out of 10, she never makes it down to the bedroom. And then when I leave the house, she's just there with my wife sawing logs on the bed. But this morning, I said, Molly, we're going in. You know, it's time to go. And she kind of, she was a little tired, but she perked up. I said, we're going into work. And I got her up just about 5 minutes. I went down and ate and everything, and then I came up to get dressed. I said, here we go now. And by the time we got to the door, tail wagging, excited, wanted to know where we were going, piled into the car, ready for the day's adventure. And I thought, be nice if people could be more that way, because if I woke my wife up at 5:15 in the morning and said, let's roll, baby, she'd be like, what the F? And I'd be like, come on, let's go. What? What's going on? Is there fire? No, we're heading out. Where? Get in the car. It'll be a good time. Are you kidding? She would have chained herself to the bed, and then she would have grabbed like a fireplace poker and tried to fight me off, and would be yelling obscenities at me the entire time, and I would do the same. Somebody just woke me up willy-nilly at 5 in the morning and said, it's time to rock and roll. I would have many questions, a lot of angry barbs, there'd be a fist fight, and then I ultimately wouldn't go. Or if I did, I'd be clinging, I'd have two big chunks of carpet in both hands that I tried to grab onto as they dragged me out the front door. But I just thought, kind of nice with the dog. Dogs, well, I'm up, and here we go.
By the way, it's not every dog. I mean, Molly sits here like a little princess. She sits by your feet, doesn't bark.
Nope.
She only loves you.
Yeah.
Speaking of princess,
she's wearing
pearls.
It's so cute.
What kind of life do you have, girl?
It's
how
adorable.
Much loot do you have that even your dog is decked out in expensive jewelry?
I don't think those are real.
She had diamond earrings. They were clamp-ons. They fell off when she got out of the pool and did that shake thing.
They came right off.
Boy, if I could do that shake thing.
This would
be the greatest out of every shower. Just dog is dry. 10 seconds after it comes out of the pool, just throws all the
water.
Never
tried it? I've tried it. I've tried to shake myself dry a couple times. It hurts.
I try it when I'm at the urinal once in a while in front of a large group of men, like at a sporting event. It's embarrassing. Wait a minute. Someone's on the phone. Anna?
Hi.
What's happening, Anna?
I'm doing very well. I have two questions, actually.
Yes.
One is Teresa ever going to do like her intro song the way? Because I love Dave, and since Teresa's so brilliant, I was wondering.
Thank you. I did one.
Really funny.
Thank you. I did one. It was to the tune of Uptown Girl. I think it was New News Girl, if I recall. We may have it somewhere. Maybe Brian can find it.
All right. We'll look for that, Anna.
But don't we have to put it to the theme of your new song?
Well, this was the get to know you karaoke song. Anna speaking.
Oh,
about.
That's what she's asking.
It
about.
Was weird. Was you know, it's weird. Theme. I didn't. It took me a second to catch on to that too. Maybe it's just been a long time, or maybe there was a word that Anna. I guess Dave's intro is what made me think Dave's sports. So you just want to hear her introduce yourself karaoke song.
I think this might be it.
All right, let's see if we have it.
New news girl, I've been living in Corolla's world. I used to work for TLC, doing home makeovers half-assedly.
Yeah,
that was me, now I'm the new news girl. I've been living in my rye bread world, as long as anyone who's Hebrew can. And now I'm working for the ace man, unless I'm canned.
Yeah,
I gotta say, one of the I will file that song into my guilty pleasure. Not your version of it, but I always liked the original version of it. As corny as it sounds.
Well, let's hear the original one.
Oh yeah.
Oh. Anna, this is more than you bargained for, isn't it?
No, because I love both Rachel Perry and Teresa Strasser.
Wow,
thank you.
You've now ruined it for Teresa Strasser. All right, I can't hear this. I'll have an epileptic seizure.
Is this Rachel's intro song?
I think it is.
Yeah. I do the news of everything.
I do the news. I'll tell you everything you need to know about George W.
Apparently we didn't need to know anything.
He will tap your phone line. And pandemic bird flus and the symptoms that you're gonna get right before you die.
And also, I wanted to ask Adam if you could tell Teresa the story about Ray shooting water out of his butt. If that
Now, let's save that for another time.
Oh, no.
That's a winner.
I was just dealing with the fecal throwing.
Well, this takes that to new heights.
Oh, no.
Or lows. I have to say this. I was on AdamCarolla.com yesterday. That is the website.
Oh,
it's a
sweet irony.
Now, I'll tell you what I found. I found a bunch of stories. I spent 10 and a half years doing another radio show. There were many websites. I don't know. It's the beauty of me. I have no idea if we had an official website. I think there was a... We did not.
No.
There was a K-Rock website, which in 10 and a half years of being on the station, I've never visited. not one time. I'm sure I didn't miss anything. And look, don't get me wrong. If somebody would have said, hey, Adam, go check out the K-Rock website. There's a huge story on you and Loveline or Dr. Drew or something. I probably would have done it if they'd done it for me and then forced me to look at it. But 10 years plus of being at a radio station, I never visited their website. There were hundreds of unofficial Loveline websites. I guess it's the age. I guess when you're talking to 15-year-olds all night, that's what they do. When you talk to 30-year-olds, they don't do the bootleg websites or they don't do the unofficial websites. But Loveline had quite a few, and I don't think I ever saw one of them in 10 years. But I have been on this website. Yes.
Because I was listening to an old episode of Loveline last night from 2002, the one that was right after you got married and Jimmy Kimmel was guesting, and he mentioned that Jim Brusca, which, at that time, I had never heard that name before, but when I listened to it last night, I was, Brusca, but he was talking about how Brusca was going out with his friend's girlfriend, who had been broken up with his friend, and they had been going out for 10 years or something.
Was she under 3 feet tall? Because that's another Brusca story. No?
Really?
Brusca,
yeah.
Is this...
is this the midget story? No, it's not the midget story. I don't remember. I dated... my mic's not working.
I can hear you. There you go.
I did date
it's our producer, everybody.
I've had thousands of women. Which one are you talking about, baby?
My friend Steven did date a girl that I dated in high school as well, but it wasn't that big of a deal. So
what about the little person?
Well, Anna, you have a mile. Well, I'll get into that. You have a mind like a steel trap. But my point is I went on the website, and I do. I visit it on almost a daily basis just to see what people are talking about or thinking about new bits. I do. And I was on it, and somebody made a list of stories that I've told over the years, and I looked at, there was about 10 or 11 of them,
I thought,
oh, yeah, oh, no, that's a good one, oh, yeah, oh, no, that's a good one. I'm saying it out loud like a retarded kid, and I thought, well, I will tell stories. See, here's the thing. I feel that stories are sort of self-indulgent. I have, you heard my dad on the radio yesterday, and you've heard my mom on the radio. Not huge fans of the Ace Man and storytelling, evidently. So I grew up in an environment where that kind of stuff wasn't exactly nurtured. Mm-hmm. So I feel a little self-conscious. On the other hand, if people enjoy personal stories, I'm all about them.
How is it then that you wound up doing this for a living? If you feel reluctant to spin your yarns,
well, I'll tell you. There's two things. One is, I made a conscious decision, as I've said many times, about the age of 22. There's two things you're good at. You're good at talking. You're good at telling jokes. You're good at telling stories. You have a good sense of humor. And the other thing is you can build. You're good with your hands. So one of them pays $30,000 a year for the rest of your life, and you'll be perpetually living in this crappy apartment, eating pie off Daniel Chaykin's driveway with the Wheeze. And the other, well, it seems like the sky's the limit. And I used to go to work because I worked construction, and I would listen to morning radio, and I would listen to Mark and Brian, and I would go, oh, well, that seems like something that doesn't seem like any big deal to me. Maybe it was a big deal to the guys I was working with, but for me, it was like, sure, I could hang in and shoot the S, no problem. And then I found out, oh, yeah, these guys, and this is many years ago, but, oh, yeah, each guy's making $500,000 a year. And I was like, oh, what? What? For hanging out and talking?
What? So
that's when I just said, well, this pragmatically, this should be a direction. It was a very easy. It wasn't I was born to be on stage. It wasn't I don't feel alive unless I have an audience. It wasn't any of that stuff. It was just purely pragmatic. One job sucks. You have to work with a bunch of racists who want nothing more than to get the jet ski out of the pawn shop and head up to the river over the weekend and, you know, literally eating lunch on the tailgate of a truck with a jackass you can't stand named Russ. The other one, ton of money, shooting the breeze.
So it's not necessarily that you felt the need to have an audience. It's just that you happen to have an aptitude for speaking publicly.
Yeah, I had a sense of humor, and it was really, was no different than this. You have two skills. One of them is horseshoeing, and the other one is apple picking. Apple picking pays $30,000 a year. Horseshoeing pays $5 million a year. And you went, oh, I'll just do the horseshoeing then. I could do them both. Doesn't matter that much. I would be back in construction in a second if it was flipped around monetarily. If this paid $30,000 a year and that paid millions of dollars a year, I'd be right back into construction just doing that. Probably talking, but doing that.
So if you find out what you're good at in life and then make it your career, you're going to be in great shape. I hope I can do that someday.
Dave, keeping our fingers crossed. Dave, I brought up horseshoeing a minute ago. I want to talk to you off the air about an opportunity. No,
I'll
very
give
fun.
It a shot.
All right. Well, the reopening Spillikin Corners over there, and they're looking for a blacksmith. We'll tell you, you'll be the world's first Jewish blacksmith. We'll take a quick break. Ah, yes, Ray shooting water out of his ass. Well, here's the thing. It's too early for this story.
Because I agree with that completely.
This one is a keeper, and it is. I guess I'm feeling like I don't want to set off the pyrotechnics display before the stadium is filled.
Right. Right.
Now I'm waiting for halftime when everyone's here. I'm not going to do it as people are still filing into the stadium. I feel like at 6:15 in the morning, people are still filing into our stadium. Let them all get seated about 8:30, and then I'm going to light off the cannons. Brusky, you will love this story.
No, the cannons that will be shot from
water cannons. Yes. Point is, on the website adamcarolla.com, there are many stories that a listener listed that I have in my arsenal that I forgot all about, and I feel like we need to get through those. Not in one day, maybe not in a week, but we'll pick some time and pick a day each week, and we'll hit one of those good old personal
Wonderful.
Stories
Story
from
time.
Back when. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Anna? Oh, did I put her on hold? Anna, thank you for that.
Sure. Thank you, guys.
All right, baby doll.
Thank you, Emma!
Anna?
Yeah.
You a big gal?
No.
What's the problem? Bad skin? What's going on? Do you have a spinal problem?
Is it because I know too much about
Seems like you know a lot about me, a lot about radio in general.
Yeah.
You are a smelly pirate hooker.
What's going on?
No, because that's what I just listened to when I was about 13.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm 18, so.
What are you doing now?
I go to school. I go to UC San Diego.
Hey, we're going to be out in San Diego way. Shake it, but don't break it. Stage horse.
And yay for Dag.
Yeah, well, you'll be hearing Dag out in San Diego way when we go there next Thursday.
Yeah, but I'm not going to be there until 2 weeks later.
Oh, well, you got a radio, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, then you can listen to the Dag Master. Perhaps he'll come over and make some sweet love on you. Thanks, Anna.
Wait.
That's what it's like. All righty, we'll take a break. We were going to do this, and I think we still are. Your good DUI stories.
Ah, in honor of Paris Hilton.
Yes, your boozing and driving stories. Have you been pulled over? Have you gotten out of a ticket? Have you been arrested? I have a friend, I will explain, got arrested in his own driveway and taken away. Car parked in the driveway, standing in front of your house, then put in the back of a squad car, driven away from your house. Ah. Oh. And it's amazing how varied the punishments are. I know guys that have gotten 3 DUIs and nothing but a slap on the wrist. And other guys have gotten 1, got the car taken away for a year, license suspended.
I know people
rehab.
Who did 3 days in jail for their first DUI.
Wow. Oh, Big Tad has 2 DUIs?
Yeah.
Nice. Well, Is it it's unclear whether they're two separate occasions or he's so fat they just gave him two.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Sorry, Husky. When you get over 300 pounds, you get two DUIs. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with your DUI stories after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show.
Doogie Howser from Back to the Future. Molly Ringwald's sister.
It's not a straight-to-video movie from the 80s. It's some of our talent booker, Mike August's guests.
Your last booking was a ficus plant from the lobby.
Outbook August in September.
You get Denzel Washington in studio, and he plays a spirited round of Ask Us Rodeo. You're going to shoot to the top of our chart.
Outbook August in September.
And win $10,000.
It's 10 grand of my money.
Call 866-901-AD. Adam. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Mm-hmm. Hey, my buddy Chris is calling up who's had a DUI or two. We were talking your DUI stories. I do believe my buddy Chris is calling in. Big Tad is in studio. Big Tad's a multiple recipient of the coveted DUI award.
Yep, I got two.
Buddy Chris has gotten a DUI or two. I think this may have been the time you smashed up the BMW 850, the nice 12-cylinder. You know, I'll tell you, you know, a lot of people say when they show the family and domestic violence, drug abuse, that kind of stuff, and they watch it on the evening news, and then they see the young 4-year-old being led away by the cop from the house, and it breaks their heart. It breaks my heart when there's kids involved. The DUI stuff, the car stuff, it breaks my heart when there's nice cars involved. When I had to hear about that Ferrari Enzo getting split in two on PCH, I wept.
If you shatter your Saturn, no problem.
That's right. Do all you want. That's right. If you're a Haley Joel Osment and you roll your 95 Saturn wagon out in Pasadena because you had a few too many nips on the bubbly, God love you. But when the nice cars like the BMW 850... Chris, turn your radio down, my brother.
You got it, baby. Got it.
What's happening?
I wanted to tell the story about I had a bottle of whiskey in the Ralph's parking lot. Couldn't find the cap. Used the sock.
Used the sock?
Used the sock for a cap. And I was living with Jim Klausman out there on Sherman Way, deep north Hollywood.
Yeah, Chris, one of my loser buddies from the Valley. I met Chris playing Pop Warner football when we were 10. Chris, Ray is going to be taking Teresa Strasser out this weekend.
That's what I hear. He came over last night. He's very excited about it.
Should I be concerned?
Excuse me?
Should I be concerned?
No. Ray's a good guy. He'll behave himself.
When your
He'll
voice goes
to.
Up that much on the
No.
Wait, can I ask, what happened the day you drank the entire bottle of whiskey in the Ralph's parking lot? Was it a bad day?
It was a party night, as it was most nights back then. I was 19 years old, and I was trying to pick up on some girls. We used to hang out in this parking lot. Anyway, I was on my drive home out to Sherman Way on the 170 freeway, and unbeknownst to me, I had a helicopter following me. I didn't notice the lights that was following my car, and I got pulled over, and behind the seat was the bottle of whiskey with about a couple swallows left in the bottom, and it had a sock stuffed in it.
You making a Molotov cocktail, son?
it seems so, but I had heard that if you refuse the breathalyzer and you say the blood test, you want to get the blood test, that it takes, you know, so much time for them to take you to the hospital and get your blood drawn. So I did that, and about an hour later, they came out, they had me in the holding tank. They came over and said, your blood is 0.27.
What? Wow. The legal limit is 0.08.
Yeah. Well, so it's only a little over three times the legal limit.
At that time, it was point. It used to be
It was
higher,
a different time.
Right?
It was 0.10 days. So it was only more than twice the legal limit.
Exactly. So I got thrown in the clink for a couple of days, and our buddy Donnie, I think, had to hawk his VCR, which was state-of-the-art back then.
The Wheeze, yes, he hawked his VCR. He's the only guy we knew who had a VCR, hence our our gateway to porn was through Donnie. Donnie
right,
was the St. Peter of porn. He would not let you pass through his VCR unless you repented. And now he had to hock the VCR, that's right, to get you out of the joint.
He sprung me from the clink and with his VCR. It took me 5 years to pay him back if I ever did.
We were talking a couple days back, Chris, about Donnie hitting girls who dumped him with the pie in the face.
I know. I heard it was. I remember the Melanie Redmond one. I didn't remember the other one.
Yeah, Chris dated Melanie as well. Yeah, he did the dumping though. I think she put a pie in his face.
Hey, by the way, with Chris, I would like to say to Teresa, this is your greatest ally with whatever happens with Ray, because Chris is a mountain of a man. And if you ever see the you ever see Tweety Bird and Sylvester, you know how Sylvester, that relationship, bullies Tweety Bird, and then the bulldog comes along and bullies Sylvester? This is the way. I am Tweety Bird, Ray is Sylvester, and Chris is the bulldog. The bulldog who protects me.
Chris, later on, though, Chris, you were arrested again for DUI, correct?
Correct, and I did, I was drunk and fell asleep at the wheel of the BMW 850i and smashed a few parked cars and got thrown into the camera again, yes.
What was the blood alcohol level on that second one?
I didn't even get tested. I don't remember. I think it was a blackout situation.
I don't remember was the level.
Yeah.
He blamed it on the Jews, though.
That's the important thing.
Adam, I wanted to remind you to tell a few stories. Gosh, there's so many stories to tell.
Yes.
About the time your car was being stolen at our apartment.
Chris and I caught a guy inside of my car at about 4 in the morning.
Whoa.
And he had installed an electronic fuel pump so that the car would start, but it would go about a half a block. So the guy had
the keys to my car.
Started the car, so Adam said, "My car's being stolen." He woke me up. We ran down there, and the kid was locked himself inside the car, and he was continually trying to start it, and obviously it wouldn't start. And we were just standing outside the window saying, "Get out of there."
I forgot about that. Yeah, the guy, I had a fuel cutoff switch in my car. I never had car insurance, and we lived in a semi-crappy part of North Hollywood, and I knew my car would be stolen at one time or another, as it was my pickup truck. Chris's old pickup truck, that is, that I bought from him, was stolen twice, and I found it twice because I had a fuel cutoff switch that I installed underneath the seat. Cars have an electric fuel pump. You just put a switch, and it shuts the fuel pump off. Now, the car runs because there's a little bit of fuel left in the float bowl of the carburetor. Your carburetor has a bowl. It's essentially a bowl. And when you pull up at the end of the night, there's a little splash that's left in there, enough to start the car, put it in first gear, and roll 80 feet. But then it runs out of gas because there's no pump. And I found three cars that way. And as a matter of fact, the old pickup truck, I used to just start with a screwdriver. One time, got pulled out of car by cops because they're parked next to me, seeing the screwdriver hanging out of the ignition, and thought I stole the car. And I was like, "Come on, I'm white. Give me a break." And the black cops beat the crap out of me. No, they thought I stole the car. Later on, when I explained to them I had the fuel cutoff switch, they hailed me as a genius.
It is pretty genius. Why doesn't everybody do
that? Yes, this guy had the keys to my car. He had a master key. About 3:30 or 4 in the morning, he opened the car very quietly with the key, got in the car, put the key in the ignition, turned the key, started the car. Thank God the car had some bad mufflers on it. So Chris and I upstairs in the middle of winter heard him from our apartment. So there's somebody in your car, ran down there in our underpants, and there was some scared kid sitting in the car. We're banging on the window, yelling, "Open the door." I didn't have the keys on me, and he was shaking his head no. He was scared we were going to strangle him. And so we made a deal with him through the car window that we would step back 20 feet. He opened the door and scampered and jumped into a pickup truck that was waiting for him on Laurel Canyon, and we're just standing out there in our underpants. Yeah, good times.
By the way, we were living in a one-bedroom apartment on the bunk beds. We were living, Adam would live on the top bunk.
Chris,
that I grew up on.
Chris had the bunk beds from his childhood home that I remember him and his little brother sleeping on when, you know, his brother was 8 and Chris was 11, and now we're sleeping on them as adults in our one-bedroom apartment.
Did any women ever end up on those bunk beds?
We've really arrived. I did. We did throw down a time or two on the bunk bed. It was a tough sell, though.
I imagine.
Yeah. All right. Yes, the Wees, who I used to live with, we slept in the same futon in the same room for a number of years. It was tough sledding back then. You had to do what you had to do. All right, let's see. Woke up in car with CHP. Let's talk to this man here. Mark?
Hi.
What's happening, guys? Mark?
Well, so we go out partying on my birthday in San Francisco, and we end up at the I-Beam on Soul Night, and the only two white guys there. We get totally faced, and well, actually, my buddy was driving, so it was me that got really drunk.
Playing with the boys.
And, yeah, it actually was the sister's boy. For some reason, we hit it off with them that night.
I see.
And so we're driving home, and... obviously, I'm passed out in the passenger seat, and I wake up and look over, and there's a CHP officer driving the car. Well, I think, obviously, I must be in a cop car. I look all around. We're still in Dennis's Volvo. I look at the cop again, and I said, "Where's Dennis?" And he said, "Up there." And just as he said that, I looked forward, and Dennis happened to look back as he had that weird shoulder position where you're handcuffed in the CHP car in front. Turned around and looked back, and so then I asked him what had happened. He said he was driving erratically, of course, as Paris Hilton was, and we drove up to the CHP place. The guy locked me in the car.
So wait a minute. Your buddy got pulled over and arrested while you were passed out the whole time.
While I was passed out, and then the cop was driving his car.
Wow.
Drove the car.
It's unique, because normally they would just tow the car, right?
I think, because I was like a pet.
Right.
So I was in the car, and they couldn't leave that. And
I guess the cops just didn't want to deal. At a certain point, as a cop, you have a certain amount of leeway. Do you want to be a complete ass? How much paperwork do you want to do? Do you want to deal with getting this guy out of the car? Probably would have, according to procedure, maybe needed to call an ambulance or something to pick you up. And they were like, screw it. We're off in 20 minutes. I'll just follow you in the Volvo. All right.
So I slept it off in the parking lot of the Pleasanton CHP office.
So you were never arrested?
Unpleasanton.
No, I didn't cause any trouble.
Right, but your buddy got the DUI.
My buddy got busted, and then I got him out the next morning.
Did you come back to get him out, or did you just wake up and stumble over with morning wood to the desk and bail him out?
I woke up, I went in and asked if I could use the restroom, and then we got him out.
Jesus, I was just remembering my poor buddy Don having to hawk his VCR to get Chris out of the joint.
That's sad.
He got me out. Don got me out of the joint, too.
What were you in there for?
I had multiple tickets for moving violations, not DUIs. Just, I'm old-fashioned.
Speeding.
I just do the regular speeding and reckless driving. Never took care of them and was riding my motorcycle down a side street that my mother suggested because there weren't any cops on it, and was arrested the following morning. She told me Sunday night about 8 o'clock, hey, why don't you take Briar Road there? That runs right along the boulevard, and there's no cops on that one. I was on it the following morning on my way to work, arrested. And then fired from the job I was on my way to on my motorcycle. But it was, in fact, Donnie, again, who pooled his money with a few other guys and bailed me out.
How would I know that?
That's right. Thanks for the tip, Ma. One more. Let's see. Fell asleep drunk. Hit parked car while drunk. I like that. Mm. All right. Let's try this one.
Cautionary tale.
Mark?
Yeah.
Not the same Mark. A different Mark. What's up?
Yeah. How you doing? A big fan. Love you. You and Dave Damashek, actually.
Wow.
Thanks, Dave.
Remember how about 20 minutes ago someone said they're a big fan of Teresa Strasser, and then they said they're a big fan of Rachel Perry as well, and it ruined it for Teresa? A lot of parallels in this story. A lot of parallels.
I hear that, Adam.
Wait.
Anyway.
Oh. Yes.
My younger days, a buddy of mine, I was on leave from military. I came home. We started partying. For some reason, we thought Alizé and champagne would be a good mix. We downed two bottles, and my buddy was like, take me by my work so I can get some extra tip money and we can go out for more. And I was like, great. He worked at this pizza parlor down the street. So I jump in the ride, and he's riding shotgun. I pull up to the pizza parlor, and there's a parked cop car there. Not realizing, I smash into the back of it, and to my left, two cops are looking at me through the window, looking at me smashing into their cop car. He gets out, looks at me, he's like, what are you going to do? I take off. I get about 3 stoplights down, about 5 cop cars just brigade me and take me in.
Mm. Now, did you get roughed up at all?
You know, they tried to a tad bit, and, you know, I kept saying, I'm on leave from the military, I got to go back, blah, blah, blah. And I ended up sleeping it off. I had to stay a day in jail, and the military police came and got me.
So you
this
never
was even worse.
Well,
I'd rather take the beating from the cops.
I understand, but you know the thing about drunk driving that is amazing, especially if you go back. Well, first, if you go back 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, there was a lot of. Now listen, just follow me. The cop would drive you home. Follow me, and he would just lead you home, and then tell you to sleep it off. Oh, those were the days. And then they're the ones that I said very wildly. I used to teach traffic school. I would have people in my class that had their license suspended or revoked, had their car impounded, had to go to mandatory rehab sessions and all that kind of stuff, probation and everything, and then thousands of dollars in fines. And then I talked to somebody else who was sitting behind them who got their one in Pasadena, and this guy got his in Monrovia, and it was totally different. What, did you get to keep your license? Yeah. How much did it cost you? $5. It's like, why does it vary so wildly from municipality to municipality? I think, unfortunately, everyone has gotten onto the same page. It's sort of like, I don't know why, but it's sort of like what smoking used to be. It used to be, well, if you want to smoke at this stadium, you can, but you can't do it at that one. You want to smoke in this restaurant, you can't. Eventually, you want to smoke at this airport, you can, but you can't at this one. Eventually, everyone just got on the same page. Now, you will pay. Your life will be, especially if you live in a place like Los Angeles, which has no alternative forms of transportation other than you and your vehicle. Could you imagine the impact it would make in your life? I mean, you'd be better off having your leg in a full cast for 6 months than you would having your car taken away for 6 months. Could
Although
you imagine?
Now, don't they let you do the thing where you blow into the breathalyzer and they let you drive?
I don't know. We have to ask Big Tad. Hold on. Big Tad's winded from trying to start his car this morning.
Yes, I do have an interlock device in my car, and it's not fun, especially when you're driving down the freeway and you're looking at people and people are looking at you and you have that thing in your hand and it clicks on and you have to blow it like every 10 15 minutes.
So it's not only do you have to
be great on a first date.
How dare you, sir?
It's the only thing getting blown.
Yeah.
Touche.
How dare you, sir?
Bump starting your car is a bigger turn on for the lady on the first date than blowing into that starter device. But Ted, you blow into it to start the car.
You blow into it to start the car, and then as you're driving, it'll randomly do it again. It'll beep again.
Could be 10 minutes, could be 2 hours.
Yeah. Because they, you know, they're smart. They know people are going to have somebody blow their car.
Right.
Interlocked.
That's Corolla's fantasy. It's blowing his car.
It's not so much they're smart. It's more you're stupid. I think it's what they're thinking.
No, it's you know, honestly, it's helped me out a lot because I don't drink as much as I used to anymore. And, you know.
Right.
You've become a picture of health.
How long do you have to have the scarlet eye?
Oh, I found out April of 2007, so
how much,
I've had it for a year and a half.
How much does it cost you for the privilege of them to wire that into your car?
It's like a $95, they put it in your car, and then $75 a month.
Be a nice reenactment. Ted, where's the Cavalier? It's at the shop. Oh, what are you doing, putting in one of those nav systems? No, not exactly. What, some killer bass thing? What do you got, the old stereo tricked out with plasmas? No, more of a modification to the ignition system. Oh, you're going with one of those MSD hot spark arresters. Give that extra horsepower. Oh, no, not a set of hot spark plug wires. All right, Big Tad. Well, that is humiliating. But the good news is now not only do you get to drive your car, but you have a guy to go in the diamond lane with, the guy who has to blow on that thing while you drive drunk, right?
I don't drive drunk.
And on average, how often will it go off? Like when you were living at your mom's house by the potato chip factory in Arleta and it took you an hour to drive in, would it go off every morning?
Yes, it would. It would probably go off about 2 or 3 times on my way to work.
Mm-hmm. It's really every 15 or 20 minutes.
Yeah, but now, you know, I live closer to work, so I've only had it like twice now.
And you just pull it off and put it in your mouth while you're driving?
Yeah. Yeah. You got to blow and then you got to hum. You got to go.
What song do you hum? Born to Lose? I'm sorry, Dad.
All right, come on, T.
Sorry,
that's not funny.
You know, the bitch bag hasn't happened yet.
I know. Please don't bitch me out. I kid because I love.
Yeah. Okay, bitch bag coming up later on today. But first, the news. What's going on, T?
I'm too busy laughing at my own joke.
It's not fun to make fun of Tad's weight. I mean, I think that's out of line.
Shut up, Dave.
Uh-oh. Okay. In the news, speaking
Hold
of drinking.
Hold on a second.
Yes.
My favorite scenario is going to happen sometime in the next 6 months where Big Tad just freaks on Dave. And he's knocked Dave to the ground. He's picked up a stool, and he's crushing him with the stool. And Brusca does that move where he goes, he starts to grab Big Tad, and I do that. I put my hand in front of him, and I go, let it go, man.
No, it's not Dave.
Like
I love
in the movies.
I love let Dave. It's Mike August.
Got to get it out of his system, man. Let him be.
Well, we were talking about drinking, and you may remember the book A Million Little Pieces by James Fry, his story of rehab that turned out to be
not true. Oh, the guy was lying on Oprah.
Yeah. Well,
everyone made a big deal out of that.
Wait till you hear the latest about that. And also, how do you smuggle your cell phone into a prison in El Salvador? All that and more.
We'll be right back with that after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show.
One time you let a guy into your apartment pleasured himself in front of you. What happened?
A guy called and he said, you've been sent a strippogram. He's a professional scam artist.
He showed up at your apartment.
He was like, what do you want? This is your fantasy. And, you know, I was like, what do you got? So he said, well, can I take off my pants? And I was like, oh, okay.
So he takes his pants off.
Yeah, then he asked if he could touch himself.
And he slaps his meat.
Did he complete his mission?
Yes.
Playing with himself. Playing with himself. He gave his dog a tug and finished on her rug because he was playing with himself.
Yeah. Just, you know, you watch those news shows like 48 Hours in 2020 and you hear about the scams that are perpetrated on the elderly. How this old widow was bilked out of thousands of dollars.
You're naked. There's a 14-year-old girl.
To catch
you're chasing a cat around. You've got Cool Whip.
And you think, wow, how could someone be so stupid? And then you think, wow, she's 85. She's been, her husband died 10 years ago. He handled the finances. But you just chalk it up to age. But T, this is bigger than any land or insurance fraud that was perpetrated on an elderly person via the telephone.
It was big.
Cold called you.
Yes.
Cold called.
Yes.
Opened the phone book randomly, found your name in it, called you, and 20 minutes later, he was finishing himself off in your living room.
I half knew it was a scam. That's why I had a guy there. And I thought this is going to be an interesting story for me to write about either way. And I did bring down the predator. He turned out to be a guy that worked at the Guitar Center.
Shocker.
But it's very... My confusion is...
Yes.
Is okay, so he takes out his business.
I half knew it was a scam.
And he begins to give it to himself. And then it's the period of time between the beginning of it and then him finishing that is confusing. Why do you say, what the hell are you doing? Get out of my home.
I don't know. It seemed like an interesting experience. It might
come on,
not
Dave.
Come along again.
Stockholm.
You did not.
One of the things that's potentially dangerous about having a job as a morning radio show host. Having a show as a morning radio. I mean, you have a job working radio or you have a job as a writer where you write columns or whatever. You probably think, no matter what's happening to you, if a gangbanger pulled a shiv out and started to plunge it into your liver, you'd be thinking, oh, this will be a good story.
Well, I think not good story. I think another award winner.
This will be an award winner. Yeah. I wish I had another stepmom to poison.
I do. I keep telling my dad, it's time for you to get remarried. I got to keep winning awards.
That's right. So it is funny. Horrible things are happening to you, and you're thinking, geez, I wish I had a little steno pad.
Well, when he cold called me, I was literally on deadline writing my column. And, you know, after 10 years, you run out of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, look, either it's really a strippogram or it's going to be an interesting story.
Story's a B+, but if he finishes, A.
I don't want to get too graphic, but A, yes. did you tip him? Because that would be great.
Would it be rude if I didn't?
I think it would be. And number two, did you have to clean up? I mean, you had to clean up after him, did you not?
By the way, the cops asked me the same thing. I'm not kidding. Because they wanted to get evidence, if you will, after the... Because he had scammed a lot of women. And there was one woman who had sex with him and spent the weekend with him before she realized that he was not a strippergram guy that she fell in love
did
with.
Did her name start with a T? Oh.
No. What did it take to get you into my pants?
Did you have to mop up after him?
No, I believe it's all a little hazy, but I believe he requested a towel. Which I then incinerated.
I see. Because I know the cops want to know if you had any of his DNA laying around. All right. Well, let's move forward. We can't live in the past unless someone reminds us of it. Then we have to talk about it for 20 minutes. So we'll leave that door open. T, what's going on in the news?
Well, four prisoners in an El Salvador jail hid cell phones, a phone charger, and spare chips in their bowels so that they could coordinate crimes from their cells. This, according to prison officials. The four men, not surprisingly, all members of a street gang, they wrapped the phones in plastic and inserted them into their rectums.
Mm-hmm.
What is the roaming charges on that call? The phones were discovered during x-ray exams following 6 weeks of investigations. Apparently, they used the phones to manage robberies and murders outside the prison.
First off, every time the phone rang, you'd be like, hello? Hold on. Who farted? Did somebody fart? Secondly, it's got to be rough on the guy who sort of coaxed the phone into him only to have it be taken out via some tongs in the prison hospital, right?
Yeah, you go to all that trouble and then... Mm-hmm. has to be removed. There are x-rays. Apparently, Andy was telling me this morning that the x-rays of these guys are online. You can see them if you choose to.
Well, nice. And, you know, listen, I have to say, if whoever manufactured the phone, I don't know if it was Nokia or who it was, a nice advertisement for how sleek your phone
streamlined.
Is. Yeah,
trying to use the phone!
Try to fit one of our competitors' phones in your arse.
Can't do it.
Can't
Samsung?
Do it.
No.
That's right.
Okay, so we were talking earlier about drunkenness and drunk driving. James Fry, the author, wrote a book all about his adventures as a drunk and a drug addict in this book called A Million Little Pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you bought the book, which was touted on Oprah, you will get a refund. Here's how it's going to work. The author and the publisher, Random House, have agreed in principle to settle lawsuits filed by readers. This has to be approved by a court, but if this goes through, you get your money back. You send in the cover of the book, if you bought the paperback, or page 163 of the hardcover, a sworn statement that you thought it was a memoir, you will get back full retail.
Wow. Yeah. Who the F files a lawsuit against a company that publishes a book? And here's the other thing. Once you do something for entertainment purposes, and any book, any movie. I mean, we were just talking about this. The movie Invincible.
Right.
About Vince Papale. Guy played 1976 for the Eagles. True story. Oh, it's a true story. Oh, it's a true story. Except for the part in the movie where he scores a touchdown.
Right.
He never did score a touchdown. The real guy never scored a touchdown. But in the movie, he scored a touchdown. Well, it's a true story. Yes, it's also to entertain. And I think when you buy a ticket, you're aware of that. Should we sue the movie theater? I mean, according to this precedent, shouldn't I be able to sue the Arclight Theater because the real Vince never scored a touchdown?
Well, I think they make disclaimers in movies that it's based on or inspired by real events.
I'm just saying, I remember this story and, you know, I was glad to see Oprah humiliated, but I remember hearing this story when it came out 6 months ago and the guy had to explain, well, he didn't exactly eat 12 Quaaludes. He only ate 6 Quaaludes and he wasn't exactly arrested 9 times. He arrested 4 times and his girlfriend, well, she didn't OD. She actually had cancer and died. Who cares? The idea is you're supposed to read this book if you have a problem and then be inspired to give up the booze, give up the pills, give up whatever. It's just ridiculous that there's more being made of this.
Well, speaking of more being made.
By the way,
yes.
This is reason 185 why the Ace Man does not read. I'll not be burned. All lies.
I bought the book, and then I told my dad to buy the book, and then I told everyone to buy the book, and now they're going to pay out, according to the agreement that they've hashed out, $2.35 million and no more. So that's about what the publisher is going to spend for publishing that book, which was a good read. It just happened to be filled with lies. Now,
I wish you weren't a liar.
Very good. Now, you guys were watching football last night. Mm-hmm. I understand that. But a little show called Celebrity Duets was also on. Here is Leah Thompson, who you know from Caroline in the City.
I know her from Howard the Duck.
Sorry, of course, and Back to the Future. And Belinda Carlisle, former Go-Go.
Mm.
Here's them singing. Richard is one of the judges, and Little Richard zigged when he thought he was going to zag. Here's what he had to say.
Oh, girl, when you came out, I said, oh, boy, remind me of Tina Turner. I said, that's that Tina Turner legs, not the voice, the legs.
That hurt.
Little Richard, as I stumbled onto about a week ago, if you really break his name down, Richard, well, a lot of guys you call Dick. I had a buddy. You know, I guess Dickie from the Boston's on his birth certificate, it probably says Richard Barrett, not Dickie Barrett, but we know him as Dick. Now, do the Little Richard math.
Oh,
nice
yes.
Nice name.
It's unfortunate. Also, last night, Hal Sparks was good, but I'll play him later. For now, I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Do it, Dave.
You may have heard the NFL season kicked off last night. Magical affair in an enchanted land. Celebration of the Super Bowl champion Steelers. The bus got out of a bus. Chaz Batch stepped in for Big Ben number 7 and did so capably. He gave the Steelers the lead in the second half when things looked bleak.
Yeah.
A long touchdown pass and to tight end Heath Miller. And then just after that, Joey Porter stepped in front of a Dante Culpepper pass.
So Miami does not have a timeout, but they can stop the clock at the 2-minute warning. They have plenty of time here to get down the field, and then Joey Porter picks it off. So you had Polamalu picking off one. Porter picks off the other. Touchdown, Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I felt bad for Dante Culpepper because, not to get too detailed here, but Porter was down in a three-point stance and lined up wide and just ready to go with the bull rush and take his head off, took one step forward, and then dropped into his hook zone, and there's no way he could have seen him there. I mean, it's one of those things where that defensive call got them the interception and got them the touchdown. That is why they're champions.
That defense is, as objective as I can possibly be, is unbelievable. Nobody runs on them. They force you to pass, and then once that you're in that situation, bad news with who they blitz and where they're coming from.
Then they
from
go
you.
To the sideline and make out with their coach.
Yeah,
we'll get to that in 1 second. We'll get to that in a moment. First, let me just say that I had such a terrific experience watching TV last night. I've decided that I'm going to do it all weekend long. Great college games to enjoy.
I don't want to cut you off, but I was so excited about the opening of the NFL season that I did in my living room what that imposter did in Teresa's living room some months back.
Were you given a towel?
Much to my wife and mother-in-law's chagrin, who happened to be over that night. Potluck. We do it every Thursday night. I had to lay the terrible towel down and take care of business.
I don't like that talk. That's sacrilegious. Like I say, Penn State and the Irish tomorrow.
You got the sack part right, buddy.
Ohio State and the national champion Longhorns should be great. And then, of course, a full slate of NFL games. Pastime, bad times for the bums. Dodgers shut out last night by the Metropolitans. Their lead in the NL West now down to just a half game over the Padres. Mm. Should be exciting to see what shakes out there. Now, you made reference to the fact that after Joe Porter picked the ball off and ran it in for a glorious touchdown, he went to the sideline and he kissed Coach Cowher.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of talk about this and that. It came up right after the game with Andrea Kramer, the sideline reporter. He cleared it up, though, I think, what was going on.
It was a great play, but what are you doing kissing your head coach?
Listen up and listen well. I like
dames and dames like me. I ain't no fancy lad. Nancy boy, panty waist, confirmed bachelor, sweet, and so on. Excuse me. Hello? Mr. Sheldrake. It's my life partner, Mr. Sheldrake. I know a lady reporter. What will they think of next? Right here on TV? Very well. Good day. All right, Toots, pucker up and lose the brassiere. I'm going to clean your pipes, but good.
Joey Porter.
Wow. So I saw that. I guess when you're looking at such a physical presence of a man, it just changes the sound in your head.
He's all man. That much is clear.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
We have my dog, Molly. Would everyone look at Molly? How cute she is.
I love her. She's such an adorable dog. And she loves you. When you leave the room, she waits by the door.
She's doing that thing where she's almost posing. You know, once in a while, a pet gets into a cute pose, and you think, this must be intentional. She's doing a thing where her chin is on the ground, and her paws are next to her head, but they're facing different directions. They're sort of flopped out side to side. Anyway, she's here.
Get a picture.
My beautiful dog Molly is here. Why? Because she's going to help us make picks this year. Now, what we're going to do all year, and we'll keep a running tally, is I'm going to pick, Dave's going to pick, porn star Jessie Jane is going to pick from Playboy TV and from the adult film industry as well. And my dog Molly is going to pick, and we'll see who the winner is at the end of the year. We have to hurry up and do this because Jessie Jane is on the set of a porn and only has a small window which she can speak to us.
Wait!
I was saying Nebraska porn at 6:45 in the morning. Yeah. Just sounds rough.
It's actually the Playboy TV show. August just told me that's what she's shooting. So, still, but even started at 6 in the morning for that Playboy TV basic porn show.
Yeah, it's like haggis for breakfast. It's just weird getting nude and getting excited and rubbing on each other and everything at 6:30 in the morning.
Well, la-dee-da, look who's too good for porn in the morning.
Sorry. The good news is she's been up all night doing blow, so to her, it's late. To us, it's early. All right, we'll be back. We'll have Jessie Jane, Dave, and my dog Molly all picking the NFL games for this weekend, and then Friday's Bitch Bag, and then we're going to have QB Matt Hasselbeck from the Super Bowl. Well, can't say champion, Seattle Seahawks. He'll be on. Teresa's ex-boyfriend's coming on. More and more to go after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Time for the Adam Carolla Show's NFL Picks. Brought to you by Wingnuts. Who will turn out to be this year's NFL expert? Adam, Dave, porn star Jessie Jane, or Adam's dog Molly? NFL Picks on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we have our four games to pick. Seattle, Jacksonville, Arizona, Indianapolis. And we're going to pick. There will be a hell to pay, although we have not conjured that hell just yet. But come Monday, whoever loses is going to be in a world of hurt. Is Jessie Jane on the phone?
Any hole. I'll take it in any hole.
Jessie?
What's up?
Good to speak to you, baby doll.
Me too, Adam. How are you this week?
I'm doing good. You getting ready to do some night calls?
Yes, we are doing night calls today. And we're going there a little bit earlier now because we have so many more guests. It's going to be a crazier show today.
How's that night call studio audience at 8 in the morning?
You know what? They're not there at 8 in the morning. They don't start coming in until about like 4:30, right before we start shooting live.
So. I see. All right.
They're doing the pre-tape stuff now, yes?
Yes.
Roll-in packages, they call them. So Jessie, do you like football?
I love football, Adam.
All right. And you like to gamble?
I like to gamble.
Perfect.
Like, she's got two footballs attached to her chest.
Oh, please. She gambles that she'll get Hep C almost every weekday. So Jessie, I'm going to give you the games, and you pick the team that you like. Brusket, keep track of this because I'll quickly do it. Should we all just go around and do the first game?
Yes.
Seattle at Detroit. Seattle is giving away 6.5 points. Matt Hasselbeck, by the way, Seattle quarterback, going to be on the phone in a half hour or so. And how are we going to get my dog Molly to pick?
Well, basically, we have a couple of dog treats, and we'll put one next to Seattle.
I see.
And one next to the other team, and whatever one she picks is the one she picks.
All right. Well, let's start with Dave Damashek. Dave, how say you?
I'd like to say, just for the record, my credentials are these. Last year, I picked every game against the spread over from week one to the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I picked at roughly a 65%
clip.
Positive
nice.
Clip.
Yes.
Yes. And then in the playoffs, of course, I went 11-0.
11-0.
Stunning.
But 0-1 this season.
So be it.
Okay. Who do you like?
I am going to take, and I think about it for a second, I will take... I like Detroit at home. New beginning. Rod Marinelli.
Much improved.
Yes.
Much improved on the carpet.
Mike Martz taking over the offense. They have some weapons there. I'm going to go with the Lions. They may not win the game, but they're not going to lose.
They'll cover. All right, Jesse, what do you think?
Seattle big time.
Seattle, and let's find out what my dog Molly thinks. I just pray Molly wins. That's all. Okay, we have the... Well, you got someone's got to hang on to Molly. Well, we have a card that says Seattle. And do we have to do this, or could we just say she voted for... Right, there's the treats. She's going for Detroit.
Oh, she likes Detroit. Same with you, Dave.
It's funny because they call Molly the Motor City Madman. So Molly goes for Detroit. Jesse, you got Seattle. I'm going to go Seattle on this one, too. It's on the carpet. It's at home, but I feel like Seattle, I feel like this game's going to be 28-17, Seattle, something in that range. All right, although the teams that lost the Super Bowl the year before do slump. They somehow get out of the gate very sluggishly. Next game, Jacksonville -2.
Hosting the Cowboys.
Hosting the Cowboys, yes.
Yes.
So if you take Jacksonville, you'll be giving away 2 points. What do you think, Dave?
Well, I think that T.O. is the showman, all the nonsense during the preseason. I think that he knows enough that he has to deliver, at least in the short term. I think he has a big game. The defense is mighty. I say the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm. What do you say? What do you say, Jesse?
I'm going to go with the Cowboys, too. I think with T.O. and Drew Bledsoe, they got something going on. And I think, Dallas is for sure.
Mm. That's tough. I don't know how good Jacksonville is this year, but I'm worried about Bledsoe. I think they get to him. I think they rattle him. He's not very mobile. I think he throws a pick and someone takes it to the house. I'm going Jacksonville on this one. All right, let's find out what Molly the dog does. Go ahead. Molly, eat one of the treats, would you? There you go. She goes for Dallas.
Dallas.
Molly and I on the same page. Disconcerting.
Yes, two picks the same.
All right, now Arizona versus San Francisco. So this game is in Arizona.
Correct.
Yes.
It's the opening of the new stadium. There should be, everybody's picking them to be the wild card or perhaps even win the division.
7.5 points
is what you'll be giving away if you take Arizona. San Francisco, I'll tell you, I have a hunch about Frank Gore breaking out against that cruddy Cardinals defense. Arizona maybe wins the game, but they don't cover the 7.5. I'm going Niners, the worst team in football last year. A bold pick.
Jesse.
I'm going to go.
These are the 49ers, by the way. I know you're used to another kind of 90.
Good point. And another kind of loose ball.
Yes, you add 20 to their name, and you got what Jesse's going to be doing in an hour on the set. Go ahead, baby doll. Who do you like?
I'm going to go Arizona because they have too many good receivers.
Okay. I'm going Arizona, too. Over a touchdown, scary. And what have we come to where Arizona is a favorite and a heavy favorite over San Francisco? Seems like only a few years back they were winning Super Bowls left and right. But Arizona at home, new stadium, rejuvenated. What's going on, Brusket?
Molly agrees.
Molly goes Arizona, too. That's my dog. Last pick. Indianapolis -3 at New York.
Well, this one's very tough.
Manning brothers.
Manning brothers, as they were talking about themselves last night, Peyton has all the pressure. He's the older brother. Eli can usurp him with a victory. The crowd will be wild in the Meadowlands. I think in the short term, Dominic Rhodes and Joseph Addai with the Colts will work hard to beat to show that they can replace Edge James. I'm going to go with Peyton and company, the Colts, minus three.
Mm-hmm. Jesse?
You know what? I'm actually going to go Giants. I think it's going to be a real close game, but I know they have Indianapolis minus three, but minus in your on the board is minus in your pocket to me. So,
So I'm saying it'll be that close where the 3 points will make the difference. I'll go with Indy. They're playing on grass, right? Did they put grass down there? Used to be turf at some point, didn't it? Artificial turf, that is. I'm going with Indy. I don't think the Giants have improved that much. I don't think Indy's gotten that bad.
That's why it's tough for me. I do think the Giants are going to be dynamite this year. One of the best teams in the NFC.
All right, we'll find out. Also, we need our tie-breaking score as well, right, Molly?
Yeah, Molly should pick the Colts.
Molly took the Colts. Good girl, Molly.
Pick the Giants, too.
Oh, no, Molly. Molly ate the Giants biscuit as well.
But first, she ate the Colts biscuit. Yeah.
Okay,
right?
Yes. And now, the tie-breaker, in case there is a tie, total points scored in that game.
In the Colts-Giants game, it should be a shootout. I'm going to go 51.
51. Jesse, Jane, how say you?
56.
Molly? Yeah. Oh. Molly, I'll tell you what. Fart, and each one will be counted as a point. 59, Molly, comes up with. I'm going to go, I figure it's going to be a 31-17 type ball game, so I'll go 48 points on my overall total. So, Jesse?
Yes?
You get back to getting on your back.
I am.
All right. And thank you, Jesse Jane. We'll be talking to you on Monday when we settle up. Jesse Jane from Playboy TV Night Calls. That's Friday nights, 6 p.m. on Playboy TV, but they rerun it all the time. Dave, Molly, myself, Monday, we'll figure out the winner.
And we have to conjure over the course of the weekend a prize for the winner each week and a bad penalty.
Humiliating.
I don't want anything bad to happen to Molly, who, by the way, I'm sure your wife was up to this because I don't see you doing it, but Molly wearing her cute little pearl necklace to work today, and probably Jesse Jane wearing the same.
She's still there.
All right.
She's got a good sense of humor, right, Jesse?
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. Well, at least her entry rug is not wearing a pearl necklace, as Teresa Strasser says, sadly. She's a porn star. She has an excuse.
I know. What's mine?
Oh, only the therapist knows. All right, well, it is Friday, and you know what that means. It's bitch bag time. I have the velvety bitch bag in front of me now. I will be drawing names, and then we will be reading them every Friday. We take a velvet sack.
What? By the way,
Jesse will be starring in a Velvet Sack 18. What is this from? What? Is there a signature on there? Can anyone make that out?
You know who that is? That's Gene Simmons.
Gene Simmons.
He sent us some books or something. He sent us a book inside of a sack.
I see. We have Gene Simmons. I don't know. Something we just pulled from the office. But a black velvet sack. In it are the notes, personal notes written by staff members. And if your name comes out more than anyone else's in the bitch bag, you're forced to then read yours on the air. We've had tears in the past.
Trail of tears.
We've had anger. We've had tears. Shall we get going?
There was also violence.
With the bitch bag, yes. Well, you tried to escape in the middle of the tears. First one, Dave.
I don't like that.
Dave Damashek. Brian.
What?
Bishop. Get ready with the sound effects. Everyone, Brian Bishop. Third, out of the sack, Dawson.
Like Dawson, the sound effects. I mean,
the voice of the show.
The voice of the show. Uh-oh, Dawson.
Two for Dawson.
Three for Dawson.
Early on, he's making a run at Teresa's all-time record of five.
Thanks for pointing that out.
More than halfway home. With plenty left to be open.
I'm wondering. Hey, Dawson just... It strikes me as a lovable stoner. I don't know how he could create this kind of vitriol
maybe
amongst
the staff. Maybe he crossed the wrong person. I think his ego got out of control the last couple of weeks.
Maybe.
Commentary.
Brian.
What?
Oh, no. Back again. By the way, you spell your name B-R-Y-A-N?
For that alone, you should get in the bitch
bag. I've literally known you since 2002. You just learned this now.
Listen, kid. I know him as kid.
Come on.
Really? Come on. Spell your name like a man, would you?
You should legally change it.
How dare you?
Brian.
There's
with a
really
y.
nothing manly, though, about the name Brian.
How dare
you? Know what also has a Y? The word gay.
That's right. That's right.
I knew it. I'm surrounded by assholes.
You're right. If you spell your name B-R-I-A-N, you're bi to begin with. But you do the Y, and not only are you gay, you're prison bottom. Woo,
in
Dawson.
In fact, never play this again.
Dawson got himself another vote. Oh,
no.
A three
up
or four.
Wait
four
a second.
Votes.
Did we just lose a low vote?
Dawson 5.
Oh, my God.
A landslide.
Tied the record.
Can he beat me?
Brian. Another one for Brian.
Don't ask why. At least it's in your name.
Spelled the manly way. Dawson 6.
Oh, the record is broken.
And last.
Down goes Strasser. Down goes Strasser.
At least Mike Dawson.
Oh, handily beat me. Beat me the way I accidentally beat Mike Lynch on the way out last time.
By running him over.
And the way that stranger beat himself in your run.
Well, Dave, one vote. Brian, 3. Mike Dawson, 7 votes.
There's got to be some monkey business.
Mine reels. Well, Dawson will be in here to answer for his sins and read the complaints out loud after this on Today. This holiest of days, Friday Bitch Bag.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show, where we salute our bitch bag winners of the past, Jimmy Brusca.
Brusca is my bitch for planning today's segment with the fat lady. Making fun of fat people is not cool.
Big Tad.
Fat Tad, because all he does is complain about everything. Everything.
Dave Damashek.
My vote is for Damashek. Because Brusca paid me $10 to vote for him.
Mike August.
It looks like Katie Lang, if people want to know what Mike August looks like.
Mike is full of himself. He consistently interrupts people and never listens.
Teresa Strasser.
You're a total gossip. That is completely unprofessional,
Brusca.
This
is not gossip. We're talking about...
And the ace man himself.
My bitch bag is for Adam for defending Teresa last week when she was wrong.
And this week's bitch goes to... me?
Are you f***ing serious? Dude, that's bullshit. I work my ass off around here. Everyone's gonna bitch me out? Screw you guys. I'm coming in the studio right now. Let's see what you have.
Wow, well done.
Surreal.
That was creepy.
That's how good Mike Dawson is.
Real time.
Technical producer and voice of the show, Mike Dawson. Mike.
Good morning, Adam.
Wow, this is a day I never saw coming. I just didn't even know you were in the running for the bitch bag. And let me say this about the bitch bag. That's what I love about it. It's like an octopus. That is the sound of all the other ones being shredded.
Yes, we have to shred the other bitches because if they get into the wrong hands, feelings get hurt.
And of course, there shouldn't be any confusion. Why Brusca received no votes nor August is that they both are they're both immune from last week.
Oh, yes. Yes, they're like... If you're confused why a president didn't win an election because he's such a popular candidate with the people, it's because he's already served 2 terms and cannot do it a third time.
Well, the other reason why Brusca didn't get voted is because he bought 7 votes.
Accusation.
Wow. Strategery.
Chilean election in the 50s.
7 votes.
Okay,
I mean,
5.
I campaigned a little bit. I'd say you're out about $200 on this.
Wow. That's awful. All right,
well,
let's start reading.
No time for hurt feelings. Only time for the bitch bag, Dawson.
Is that not the right order? Did I flip him over?
You did.
Sorry there. I'm a little nervous.
There we go.
I'm hated right now.
I have to tell you.
Yes, here we go. My vote is for Dawson because Brusca paid me $10 to vote for him. That's one.
Should have held out for more than $10.
Seriously, I'd have gone 25.
Whose was that?
Doesn't say.
It's anonymous.
Oh, that's right. It's anonymous. That's right.
I can't pay the person now.
Dawson, because all of his stories are way too long and have no point.
That's
to be fair to Dawson, he's baked off his ass when he's telling the stories. Brian, I'm guessing that came from you who drove to Lake Tahoe with Dawson last weekend.
Oh. 9 hours in the car each way. I didn't say one word to him.
Wow.
Too busy with your mouth on the bong.
Too busy trying to work the carb and the accelerator at the same time.
It's tough.
Yeah.
Mike Dawson earns my bitch bag vote this week for smoking pot while driving 90 miles an hour with his knees on the way to Tahoe last weekend. He also nearly ran out of gas on the drive home. Also, he said that doing it all for my baby song by Huey Lewis and the News is gay. Signed anonymous, but I think we know who it is. Bishop, way to go, man.
So you drove while smoking off the bong?
Look, it's not rocket science.
That's what it says.
The car's an automatic. It practically drives itself.
Good point.
And let me say this, too. He was probably just smoking a roach. He didn't use that 6-foot bong that looks like the guy from the Ricola commercial.
Brian says he did.
Left the gravity at home.
Well, he has a bong that looks like the guys that play on the Matterhorn. You know, those ones that take three men to work.
And also driving with the flip-flops adds a degree of difficulty.
I went barefoot.
Dawson did tell me he had a roommate who had a gravity bong that involved a kiddie pool and 70 gallons of tap water. Yeah. And you would use a cherry picker and slowly immerse yourself into the pool. And as you displace the water in rush, to smoke, to fill its void. I thought, really? You can't just get high? You just eat a pot brownie and relax. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Next one. Okay. Somebody actually titled this one, Untitled.
Ooh.
That's very artsy. My bitch for this week is Mike Dawson. I picked him for three reasons. Number one, he's a San Diego Superchargers fan. Mm-hmm. Two, he puts that crappy San Diego Superchargers song in our promos for our trip last week. And number three, he's a Charger fan. Go Raiders.
Big Todd.
Yeah.
That's a bit redundant.
You're going to go 0-2 with the Raiders versus the Chargers.
And, you know, by the way, Ted has nothing to do with the Raiders. It's just every guy who gets over 330 pounds automatically becomes a Raiders fan.
Really? That happens?
That's what happens. You get kissed.
Tattoos, goatee, yes.
You're kissed into the Raider Nation the second the scale gets over 330. You're an honorary Raiders fan. Yeah, that's what happened to Big Tad.
We're all two Krispy Kremes away.
I'm nowhere near the end of these, by the way.
Wow.
Seven.
Wow.
That's a long one.
Mike Dawson. How can you disrespect Bruska the way you did last week?
Oh,
it was highly uncalled for, and you not only showed disrespect for Bruska, you showed your true disdain for the entire show. Wow. Mm. What did I do? Mm. And I mean, I agree with you and the fact that Bruska should not be in the studio and should listen better when people explain things to him, but the way your bitch was written was very condescending and really upset me. Long story short, please, you're getting a bitch this week because you disrespected the most intelligent, handsomest, and hippest executive producer I've ever known. Please don't do it again. Jesus.
And I didn't write that.
Wow.
Mine's coming.
There's more. Should I continue it really quick?
Money changed
hands. You're also getting this bitch for the undue trauma that you caused the beautiful, young, and slender Teresa Strasser.
I love this.
It was not nice for you to record her without her knowledge, though it is my job to record people without their knowledge.
I agree.
Although she did deserve it, it says.
Yes, no. Wow. It was your job to record me. You're still evil.
Okay.
I don't want to step on anything, but I believe somewhere in the 8 o'clock hour, there'll be some other recordings played that were unbeknownst to the person who was talking at the time. I'll leave it at that, but people can prepare for that coming up later on in this show.
The suspense.
But I like this bitch because it called me slender.
There is a postscript on this bitch. It says, P.S., Bruska paid me.
Drawn off the hizzle.
Bruska, you could have offered me $10. So I would have voted for myself too.
Would you have called me slender?
Well, only 22 more to go.
Okay, because Bruska is campaigning for you, and I can't wait to hear his bitch. Sorry, man, I just love the drama, Mike Lynch.
So what Bruska did is. Bruska has something to say, as he does almost every week. So what Bruska did is to make sure he was heard, because you can have a, you know, Magna Carta-size bitch about somebody, but if you're the only vote for that person, it'll not get read over the air. It'll instead get shred.
Right.
Well, not read, but shred. But what Bruska did is he made sure that his voice was heard.
Engineered.
Diabolical.
So of the six votes, two were bought. right?
Three.
Three were bought.
Three. At least.
Two bought. One
Lynch, did you get money?
I haven't paid anybody.
Mike
by
Lynch
the way.
Did not get money. He
so
just loves the drama.
Bought.
All right, here we go.
Let's get to it.
All right, here we go.
We got Caliendo waiting.
By the way, this is the only way Brusker can really make me listen to him is in the studio with the headphones.
Oh,
otherwise, I'm good at
sweet.
Tuning him out.
This is. I just looked at here it. It's like longer than War and Peace, and it's all war.
This is Brusca. Last week, you made up a bunch of BS about me and put me in the bitch bag,
yeah.
Recklessly messing around with the integrity of our beloved Friday bit. Who are you to lie and ruin and try to ruin someone's reputation? If I remember, I looked past all of your alcohol and drug problems.
Hired you literally off the streets of San Diego. I was middays in San Francisco, by the way.
And
gave
whatever.
You a second chance on life.
Second chance.
Second chance. Since then.
He was living at the shelter.
Since then, I have found you puking in the hallway one morning. Drunk on more than one occasion at work. It was Cinco de Mayo.
Real come on, boozing. Dude. Yeah.
All right. Smoking pot at our Cinco de Mayo car wash events. No, I didn't.
And car wash.
And generally acting like an ass. No, I don't. To recap, last week, like a big... Can we say that word? Like a big P?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say it. Say puss.
Puss.
Yes.
Last week, like a big push, you anonymously said I did nothing for this show. In reality, many times you have told me how much you admire the work I do around here. To prove it, here's one of your recent phone call messages to me. I knew it! I knew I should not.
Oh, if I meant it as maliciously as it was written, do you think I would have come into the office and said, as a joke, I wrote that? Come on, man.
There it
just
is.
Just know that I do consider you a friend. I do respect what you do. So, get over it and move on.
That doesn't negate what you wrote.
Juan, since you have a problem with our production assistant, Jerron, helping me book human interest guests, effective immediately, PA Mike Chaffee will no longer help you with the clips you should be cutting on your own. Well, then I guess we're going to go without clips.
No, I need Mike Chaffee.
According to you, production assistants should not help us. I agree, you are on your own now.
Wow.
And two, your job is now posted on a website. Oh, boy. All of you radio production people out there, if you want one of the best jobs in the country and you can refrain from putting heroin needle in your arm during work hours and lying about the boss, go to adamcarolla.com. He spelled your name wrong, Adam, by the way. And find out how you can take my job. In conclusion,
wow,
Dawson,
well, so hold on. Let me just wrap my mind around this, dude. He actually, in his bitch bag letter, which he knew you would have to read aloud, put a plea in for someone to replace you and then forced you to read it by the laws of the bitch bag.
Clever.
Wow.
Oh, sweet irony.
Who
knew Brusca was so clever?
I'll tell you a thing about Brusca.
I got to do spell check, though.
He tells us how smart he is all the time. We always laugh it off.
He's smart when it comes to human cruelty.
He's like Lex Luthor. He has a diabolical mind. He's a genius when it comes to torturing coworkers. Yes. Not so great when it comes to producing, but when it comes to torturing,
agreed.
A diabolical genius.
Read the end so we can get on.
Okay. In conclusion, Dawson, if you cannot say no to drugs,
a little late for that.
You will be saying yes to unemployment.
Ooh, a turn of phrase.
Let's go. Now, I played by the rules. I read them all verbatim, unlike you, Brusca.
I gotta say this from what I learned from working with Dr. Drew, addiction medicine specialist for many years. The amount of weed that Dawson has smoked over the years is stored in his fat cells for up to probably 2023 would be about the time it would be completely flushed out of his system. So he could stop smoking pot today. He'd still be stoned every time he broke a sweat or dropped a pound for the next 15 years or so, Brusca. So it's futile. Let him keep on the weed. For that matter, Dawson, I think you're doing a fine job. But Brusca, that was top-notch entertainment.
Yes, and I will say this. The message that you left Brusca, the good news is he's already up to his eighth step.
That's right.
People will know what I'm talking about.
All right. Well, we have Matt Hasselbeck coming up on the show, Seattle Pro Bowl quarterback. Speaking of Pro Bowlers, Frank Caliendo in here from Mad TV and, of course, the Fox NFL pregame show. He does the voice of Madden and many others. He's coming up. Teresa's ex-boyfriend. wound still fresh on this one. He's coming up as well. And again, there was some secret taping going on in the studio. I don't want to say who and I don't want to say when, but that's coming up as well. Yes, be prepared for more humiliation after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. The Adam Carolla Show. And now the voice of pro football, John Madden.
Half of that grass on the field is real and half of it is fake. But Brett Favre is all real. Brett Favre is the greatest player in the world. You could cut out both his arms and both his legs. He would still be the best torso at football. I mean, he can throw a football 200 yards underwater. I gave him throw a football 1 yard underwater. 200 miles. That's 199 more yards. Brett Favre can throw a football.
Well, the guy who does the voice of pro football from Mad TV and Fox's NFL pregame, Frank Caliendo on the Adam Carolla Show.
Good to see you, Frank.
Good to be here.
We've had you on the show many times as Madden, but not so many times as Frank Caliendo. Frank, as we talked about, NFL pregame Sunday on Fox, also 5 seasons Mad TV, but no more.
Yeah, done with that. I'm working on a pilot for TBS right now. That's a sketch show. It's my show. I wanted to call it Chappelle's Show, just to see.
Good idea.
You know, that's you know, here's a guy who's thinking. And when Frank can't remember what he's going to say as himself, he goes to me.
Why is Madden always stuffing things into turkeys? That's what I get.
Stuff a chicken into a duck into a turkey and then stuff that into a quesadilla. Do something different. That's a turduckendilla. What'd you call me? A son of a gun. What are you talking about?
You were telling me that Madden hates your impressions.
Doesn't like me at all. My manager went up to him at the Super Bowl a couple years ago. He's like, what do you think of the guy who does the great John Madden impression?
Like, I don't like it. What do you mean you don't like it? I don't like it. I should have been Shrek.
He didn't say the Shrek thing, but that's why he doesn't like me, because I say stuff like, but he'd been perfect in Shrek.
You got the gingerbread man over. The gingerbread man's the only guy I know who's made out of the same thing as his house. And he can eat his house, and he's probably not considered a cannibal. I mean, that's the Brett Favre Shrek world right there. I mean, I'd love to stuff him into a turkey.
Well, I'm looking here at a list of about 100 other people you do, such as, well, Doris Roberts.
Well, that's something from Mad TV. That's an old makeup.
That's a tough one.
It was just like, Ray. That was all I did.
How about Leno?
Hey, of course. Why not? You know, just throw it in there. That's it. You ever wonder if his voice gets so high, the dog starts surrounding him? Like,
let's see if Molly.
See what Molly does.
Hey, Molly, wait, get away. She's helping my
leg. Oh, yeah. She's licking on herself. James Gandolfini.
Man, that was all right. That was an okay one. I mean, I like the weird ones. The Jeff Goldblums are the fun ones. You know, like, he'll commit to something 100% and then do a complete 180. I know what you're thinking, like the present. That's a lot of math, but follow me, all right? Be like, what's your favorite food, Jeff? I like hot dogs. I do. They're very, very good. I like hot dogs, mustard, ketchup, relish, all kinds of things. Chili dogs are good. Cheesy dogs are even better. Wait a second. I'm a vegetarian. I am. I don't eat meat. I don't. I have to go. I can't stay. I can say I have to go. I have to save the rule. The rationalization of aliens by using a Macintosh computer. I got to perform at the Congressional Correspondents' Dinner with Vice President Cheney sitting right next to me. Now, this is before, you know, the guy did Bush with Bush.
Mm-hmm. And here's a guy who's bitter about that, because that was a month after I did my thing.
But Cheney was sitting right next to me. He's not bitter. Oh, yes, he is. Cheney was sitting right next to me, and, you know, I'm doing this whole thing. I do this head bob thing. That's what Bush does when he, you know, and it's like a turkey does it. You know, he's always waiting for him to go gobble, gobble, you know. And I'm doing that. Cheney, I'm expecting him to be mad. He's laughing his ass off on the side. I look over. He looks like the penguin from Batman. He's like, wah, wah, wah. It was, like, ridiculous. I was waiting for him to pull out the umbrella and the smoke to come out.
How about Fred Grandy?
I don't even know who that is.
That's Gopher from the Love Boat, I think.
Gopher. Where do these guys pull this stuff from?
I don't know where they get these
names.
It's
like they saw, like they've looked at some Mad TV website. And you know, sometimes those impressions are not even really impressions. You know,
you just put on the outfit.
You put on a wig and you wave at the camera. That's all that Fred Grandy was.
Well, I'll give you some others to choose from. Chris Rock.
I can't believe you brought that up.
How about...
I always wish he would have been on Scooby-Doo. You know they do those guest stars on Scooby-Doo? Like they come in like, Zoinks, like, hey, Scoob. Like, it's Chris Rock. Finally put a black guy on Scooby-Doo who's not a damn globetrotter. Forget about Scooby Snack. That dog doing Scooby Crack.
Larry Flint.
That's another one that was just like, hi, how are you? That's all it was.
Yeah, all you got to do is stuff a roll of nickels in your mouth and get loaded, and you can do, anyone can do Larry Flint.
Joe Pesci.
Not even another good one.
Ted Knight.
Ooh, Spalding. I want you at the golf course 5 minutes. Mm? Chop, chop.
Ooh. How about Regis Philbin?
Okay. That's a, you know, those are on. Kelly, is that okay? All right. That's all.
How about this? This would be a great idea. What if you could come up with a Rich Little or Fred Travellini impression now?
Dave's obsessed with an impersonator who can do other impressions.
You know, Dana Carvey did that once on when he had his show that, that week.
Oh, yeah, great show.
He did Rich Little does the, you know, does the classics, and it was a very funny.
Well, there you go. Scooped again, Dave. Speaking of, is Matt? Matt Hasselbeck's? Oh, it's a different Matt. Oh, Matt Hasselbeck. Quarterback, of course, for the Seattle Seahawks, supposed to be calling in any second. Some other guy called in named Matt and wants to talk to Frank, actually. Matt?
Yeah, I'm here.
This isn't the Matt. This is a Matt.
Yeah.
What's up, Matt?
I heard Frank on the radio yesterday on ESPN. He does a great Bill Walton.
I don't remember me. Oh, yeah, I guess I was in the afternoon.
Here's a guy who can't remember where he is or what he's doing. Boom. Been there, done that, my friends.
Walton is so ridiculous because you ask him a question, he goes on for about 20 minutes, and it's never about really what you're talking about. It's like, I remember being at Berkeley, 1967, blotches of beard, not connecting on my face, eating corn from across the room. I could feel colors. I could smell sounds, playing for the greatest teacher of all time, the wizard John Wooden. It's an incredible situation, a time, a place, the space-time continuum coming down on you, not unlike Hulk Hogan coming down on Andre the Giant in WrestleMania 3.
Hey, here's a guy who's not sure if that was WrestleMania 3, but he, you know, so don't look it up.
Walton rode his bicycle, I think, to the celebration, to the party that they had. Did you guys know this story?
Yeah, no.
Portland.
What? When Portland won the championship, he, you know, they have the big parade down in the center of the square, and they go down the street and everything. He rode his bicycle down there and evidently got stolen.
Oh.
That was the story. See, that's the message to the hippie. The hippie says, I'm going to ride the bike because I'm all about the free this and the don't do that. And then it gets stolen. And that's when the hippie comes down from his high.
How high had that seat? That seat had to be high. How do you ride it out of there?
Yeah, 9-foot guy riding a Schwinn.
Yeah.
Jeez.
All right, so again, Matt Hasselbeck going to be calling in. And when he
does,
I think... Oh, yes, I think he is on. When he does, we'd prefer you, Frank, to be John Mann.
Oh, yeah, and I want to make sure people know that I'm at the Irvine Improv this week.
Oh, yes, yes, that's right. Tonight through Sunday, only a few tickets left, everyone. Irvine Improv, Frank Caliendo. Let's put Matt on hold and speak to the real Matt, Matt Hasselbeck. Matt?
Hey, what's up?
Good to speak to you.
Good morning.
Well, I'm a big fan.
NFC champion.
Not
Dave's
bad.
A fan.
Yeah. Now, who does Seattle open against?
We're going to Detroit. Today. We're headed to Detroit to play the Detroit Lions.
The much-improved Detroit Lions.
Yes, they are.
And what do you think? Because I think I took you guys. But, Dave, did you take Detroit?
I took Detroit. I said that Seattle may win the game, but what was it? Six
they
and a half?
Cover the spread.
7.5? Yeah.
Dave sounds like a Steelers fan to me.
Wow.
Something smells fishy.
Well, let me tell you something. This is what I want to say to you, is that I hope that now that the '06 campaign has kicked off, that we can once and for all, hopefully you and your teammates and Coach Holmgren and the entire town of Seattle can stop with the crying about the refereeing and the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Yes. Wow.
Matt?
Wow. Did I say anything?
Huh? No, to your credit, I'm sorry. To your credit, I did look you up. You were very noble in defeat. You said that. But Coach Holmgren with the announcements to the fans about beating the refs as
Hold
well
on.
As
well, this
Dave,
just in.
Is this Holmgren?
Wow.
Let's hear that.
You're talking about February, right? The day after the game? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Well, Matt, you got one of the worst calls in Super Bowl history when they called you for the chop block, essentially, when you were making a tackle on a pick. A very rare pick, I must say, of a
Thank
Matt
you.
Hasselbeck
Thank you.
Pass. But that was a bizarre call. Other than that, I didn't think that Big Ben got into the end zone. But other than that, a lot of those calls could have gone one way or the other. They just happened to fall on very important plays. The great coach John Madden is in studio, Matt. He'd like to talk to you.
Yeah, I have been on the wrong side of one of those kind of calls, too. I mean, you know, where you think that something big is going to happen, and then you think, hey, what was that call? You look at it, you think, I don't think that's the right call, but what they're doing is making the wrong call. And then when you think, hey, why'd they make the call that way? And then they don't know why they made it either. Hey, why did you make that call? Why didn't you make that call? And then you realize they don't know what the call was.
Is that how you felt, Matt?
I think that's the explanation I got when I got to the sideline.
Do we have that whole homegrown? Yes, let's hear that.
We knew it was going to be tough going against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I didn't know we were going to have to play the guys in the striped shirts as well.
Well, you got the partisan crowd out there. What are you gonna say? But Matt,
yeah, I think the national crowd is on our side on that one. But that's fine. We're over it. It's all good. Yay for the Steelers, and I hope they have a great year.
Well, we hope you guys have a great year too. I feel for Seattle because they're teams that are easy to hate. And it depends where you're from. But Seattle's never been on my hit list. Not that they had some good years. They are currently, and they had some good years back in the day with Zorn and Largent and all that. But arguably one of the more likable teams in the NFL since they came onto the scene.
Yeah, I'd agree. You know, and Adam, you were probably a big Brian Bosworth fan in his heyday.
Sure,
you know,
love the boss.
You know, that probably adds to your good feelings.
I love him more as an actor, performer, than I did as a linebacker.
What is he in?
What isn't he in? You got to watch TV in the wee hours in the morning. You'll see the boss pop up. He's a DE agent who's been wrongly accused and now must hunt down his, come on.
Sorry.
Hey, Matt, what do you think about this? I think I'm with Ace that the Seahawks are a more or less likable team, and that stadium you guys play in looks awesome, and the fans look great. You guys got to go back to the old uniforms, though, yes?
Well, you know, we're like one of the few teams out there that never had a throwback uniform to go back to. And so we had to come up with a uniform, and so we have the opportunity to go back to the throwback. So, yeah, it might be a little soon for that. You know, we've only been in these new uniforms for like 4 years. So, and even then, we've really never really been sure what we wanted to be. Sometimes we wear white pants. Sometimes we wear blue pants. Sometimes we wear white on blue. You know, we're never sure. This past year, we played well with the blue on blue, white on white. So, maybe next year we're ready for the throwbacks. That might be a little soon for us. You know, our team just started in 1976. Right. So,
I think if you go with the throwback, you go with the leather helmet. I mean,
you
throw it back all the way. I mean, you throw it back to the leather helmet and you know.
Leather helmet, no black guys on the field.
Right.
Sorry.
Right, yeah.
Sorry, fellas. It's going to be a boring game, but we're really going throwback. Nobody black and no one over 175 pounds is allowed on this field. Dig up Alex Karras. We're going deep.
Matt, you said you played well in the one outfit. I wonder if you have any superstitions you do on game day.
No, you know, not really. No superstitions. In fact, you know, on a team, there's a bunch of guys that are superstitious, usually coaches. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It's so sort of annoying to me. So, like, a guy will say to me, go behind me in the omelet line today because last week you went in front of me and we lost, you know. So I purposely go in front of them again just to show them that it really makes no difference.
So you slaughter that chicken in front of your locker because you're in the Santeria. There's no superstition involved?
Yeah, I'd have no problem doing that.
We have a clip of our own sports guy, Dave Damashek, that we secretly taped yesterday after the show when we had a little meeting. We were discussing you, Matt. We were discussing what we would talk to you about and how this interview would go.
I had nothing to hide, please.
Dave piped up and his mic was on and he didn't know it. So let's hear what he had to say.
There's no way in the world tomorrow when Hasselbeck's on you're going to say anything.
How about this? What if I say this? I don't know exactly how it'll come out. How about if I say this? Well, we've moved on to the 2006 season. Does this at least mean that the tears will stop falling from you and your teammates?
Called
Did I not just say that?
Called him a crybaby.
Sounds good now.
Is that enough? And that's enough. I thought Hasselbeck himself didn't cry.
I think he didn't cry nearly as much as Holmgren and a few of those other guys. But I'll bring up, I'll say you and your teammates aren't crying yet about the Super Bowl.
Nearly as much.
I said exactly that. I have nothing to hide.
There's
got to
be more humiliating. There's no more humiliating stuff on that tape.
That's about as far as he went.
You know, that just sounds very typical, though, you know? I mean, it just sounds very typical. I was actually in Pittsburgh, you know, right after the game.
Uh-oh.
Spent some time there.
Mm-hmm.
And,
he had to take a leak. That's why he flew in.
How do you feel about the city of Pittsburgh?
It was all right. You
smells
know,
like victory.
I went to dinner with Charlie Batch. It was all right. He showed me around, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. Nothing.
I got to tell you, Pittsburgh, everyone comes back from Pittsburgh and says it's a great town because the bar is so low flying into Pittsburgh. You expect to just fly over smokestacks and be shot at the airport. And then you go in and you go, oh, not bad.
Oh, they have cars and food.
Right.
Yes. They got the internet there now, too.
But guys, I think the thing about Matt Hasselbeck is, I mean, this is a great quarterback. And my favorite thing about Matt Hasselbeck is that at one point he was on the same team as Brett Favre.
How do they compare?
I mean, I mean they're different players. I mean, right now Matt's throwing to his own team, but I think that I mean they're both great players, and Hasselbeck, I think Matt's the next Brett Favre. I mean, there's past Brett Favre. I mean, there's future Brett Favre,
right.
And I think that Matt is that guy. Hold on. Finish up a little turkey there. But when you get a guy who can play and do, he can run, he can throw, he can hand off. Mm-hmm. Those things that he can do make him a great quarterback. Read the defense, know what's happening, and I think that when you get a guy like that, Sunday, you know, pretty soon we're going to be saying that guy's the next Matt Hasselbeck. And when you say that, you mean it, and you know it, and you feel it.
She's saying Matt's the next Brett Favre.
He's the next Brett
Favre.
And
the current Brett Favre is Brett.
Brett Favre is Brett Favre, although he's not quite the Brett Favre that he once was.
But if he checks his driver's license, it still says Brett
Favre. Still does say Brett Favre. And if you rearrange the letters in Hasselbeck, it spells out Brett Favre. That's an anagram.
Well, Matt, thank you very much for being a great sport.
This has been comedic. This is very funny.
Well, Matt, what a life, though. Because it's one thing, you know, I was watching something on Favre, and I thought, well, this is cool, except for the poor MF-er has to live in Wisconsin 6 months out of the year. But you live in beautiful, blue-skied Seattle.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. It's very, very nice.
Do you ever get out to eat with Brett Favre? Do you remember what he had to eat?
The Cajun shrimp.
Oh, yeah. That's what I would have thought. Brett Favre, Cajun shrimp. I mean, you know, I mean, that's what I love about Hasselbeck. I mean, this guy's got an answer for everything. I mean, you throw a defense at him, got an answer for it. You ask him what he went to lunch with Brett Favre, boom, got an answer for it.
That's right.
Now you see why this guy is doing what he's doing. Because he goes out there and makes things happen just like he probably just said, hey, Brett, Mr. Favre, or however you said it, that's how I'd say it. You want to go to lunch? And he's like, yeah, I'll go to lunch. You want me to go get it? It's a buffet. I'll go get it for you.
Coach Mann, we have Matt Hasselbeck. He played in the Super Bowl 6 months ago. He's on the phone right now. He probably doesn't want to hear about Brett Favre and what he ate for lunch.
You know who else played in the Super Bowl? Brett Favre.
I understand.
That was back when he was Brett Favre.
It was a number of years ago, though.
When he was still winning Brett Favre.
Matt played in the Super Bowl, the last one.
Yeah.
Not from 6 years ago.
That's okay. I mean, that's good. I mean, I'm not saying that's bad.
I'm just saying to talk about Brett Favre in front of a great like Matt. I'm sorry, Mr. Hasselbeck.
It's all right. Coach Madden, you know, he gets a pass.
I understand.
See, make $100 million on a video game in a couple of days. Look what happens. Hall of Famer John Madden. I talk to bus. I will do whatever I want.
The evil John Madden coming out. Matt, thank you very much.
Alrighty, anytime.
And we'd love it if you could check back with us during the course of the season and keep us updated.
Only if Dave can work on his trash talk, and that was pretty weak.
Oh, that was. All right, Matt, thank you very much. Good luck this weekend. Well, see.
Brett Favre, number 4, and Matt Hasselbeck, 4 interceptions in the Super Bowl.
And he waits till after the call is over.
Yeah.
He hung up.
Timing.
I'll tell you.
The Pittsburgh Penguins speaks again.
I'll tell you. Who would have had more spine than that? Brett Favre.
Yeah.
He would have not
He's
waited.
Got enough spine for three different animals right there. Three
really?
Different dinosaurs.
Wow.
That's a lot of spine.
That's
I mean,
a ton of vertebrae.
Yeah. Brontosaurus side.
It's like a turducken of the olden days.
Stuff a chick, stuff a pterodactyl into a tyrannosaurus. It's a pterodactyl into a triceratops into a brontosaurus. Brett Favre!
Frank Galliano. Do you think that John Madden just wakes up in the middle of the night covered with sweat and gravy going, Brett Favre, Brett Favre.
What happened? I wish Galliano would shut up.
Frank can be found at the Irvine Improv tonight through Sunday, all the way through the weekend. Just a few tickets remain and go out and get that. Go to improv.com for more information, and we'll be looking for your new sketch show coming out. When?
Hopefully it'll be next summer. If it gets picked up, it will be. We're doing the pilot soon. So, and the frankcaliendo.com and frankcaliendo.org is a brand new site with a bunch of great caricatures on it.
Well, go to it and be entertained.
Thanks. Can I throw one
yes.
more in? Brett Favre wears number 4. Matt Hasselbeck has 4 hairs on his head.
Oh.
Yes.
Son of a gun.
Improving the trash talk as we speak.
I'm not good.
You're George Costanza.
We will we will take ourselves a quick break. Who's next and what's next, Brusket?
Brandon, Teresa's ex-boyfriend.
Oh. Very nervous about this.
Whew. Me too. All right, we'll be talking to the next ex for Teresa Strasser after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to The Adam Carolla Show. It's time for Teresa Strasser's X-Files.
The truth is out there.
Is it a conspiracy?
Dear Diary, today my heart leapt.
Or does she just date crappy guys?
It was good for me.
The truth is out there.
Sounds just like an X-File.
Teresa Strasser's ex-boyfriends.
I want to believe.
X-Files on The Adam Carolla Show.
Well, the latest in Teresa's long line of dumpies.
Yes, they all the broken relationships have one thing in common, and that is me.
Now, also that bad stuff goes down in your favorite bagel shop.
Yeah, yeah. Myrna over there at Sam's has seen a lot of men come and go
mm-hmm.
over the years.
And Brandon is the latest. Brusket is going to go get Brandon.
Yes.
And then Brusket is going to excuse himself because we agreed that Brusket would not be in the studio.
He's the latest in the trail of
dead. Yeah, when I started this job, we were dating.
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
Here he is.
Brandon is, this is, took a lot of courage to come on because Brandon is not a performer, not a writer, not a celebrity. He's an ex-jock. Yes, Brandon?
Yes, sir.
Strapping fella.
Strapping, big strapping, good-looking guy. I'm hell-bent on setting Brandon up with one of the callers. By the way, we'll see how Teresa feels about that. But, Brandon, tell us a little about yourself, and then we'll get into some of the details.
A little about myself? Just a normal working blue-collar guy, a marketing director for a company here in L.A.
You played baseball
I
in college.
Do. I still play baseball, actually, playing a 28 and older league here in L.A., so I'm one of the younger guys. But
he doesn't want to brag on himself, but he did play Division I
Yeah,
where did
you play ball?
Played at a small school in North Carolina called High Point University. It's kind of the sister school to Wake Forest, so a very small school. Very.
And he almost, his batting average was almost 400 with the last game, 0 for 5.
Mm. Yeah, I was a few hits away from hitting 400 my junior year. Exactly. And I took an 0 for 5 on a horrible hangover.
And 0 for 1.
I like that even Teresa's. Better.
Yeah. So, Brandon, you guys met where?
We met in New York through a mutual friend of mine. Teresa was working on the morning news there at Fox 5.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew the morning anchor. He was. We played basketball together in a kind of a rec league.
Mm-hmm.
And he set us up, or I happened to see her one day. I think it was there was a blizzard out one day, so I turned on to see Chris, and
he saw me on the news.
Yeah.
Really,
wanted to meet me.
Mm. Wow!
So over beers with Chris, I was like, you know, while you were out, girls in New York, you know, you have to introduce me, and he did. And
you guys dated for 2.5 years.
Yeah, we lived together for 2 of it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wasn't under that impression. I thought that you guys had not gone on that long.
Well, it went on
2.5. And when did you break up?
2 months ago. Yeah.
2 months ago.
When I started this job, we were together.
Yes. Now, Brandon, you would have liked to continue the relationship, yes?
Of course, yes.
Yes. And were you thinking of marriage, perhaps?
I think we were... Well, I don't know if we were... I don't think either of us are big marriage people. But
I was thinking kids.
Yeah. I think kids before marriage. I don't know. That's
really?
That's probably a little backward than most, but something about the commitment of marriage, I think, scared us both a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But being together...
You say both, you mean you and your Johnson?
Yeah.
Because when I say both, even when my wife's standing there, I'm talking about myself and my scrotum sack. I'm never talking about her. We're trying to start a family. We're outdoors people. We like to go camping. We're thinking about going to Catalina this weekend. I'm always talking about me and my scrotum. It's never my wife. So if we're at a party and I'm standing with my arm around her and I say, We're hot.
We're cold.
We like carne asada burritos over chicken burritos.
We need a haircut.
Whatever. We're new car shop. Whenever I say we, I'm talking about me and my scrotum.
We're going to spend some quiet time at home alone tonight, open a bottle of wine.
We need a massage. We're tense.
We're just going to eat popcorn and watch Cliffhanger again. Well, Brandon, you're a sport for coming on because I know it is unlike some of the other guys we've rolled through here. This is a new and fresh wound for you. You've not started dating again, have you?
No.
No. And again, I will put it out there. Brandon is how tall?
6'5".
6'5", strapping, clef in the chin that would hold up a bike. It's more bike rack than it is clef.
Look, yeah. I wanted him to be the father of my children. I was very interested in that.
Yeah, that
didn't work out.
That's some good genes
that's
there.
That's what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to have point guards. I want to have, centers or power forwards.
Right. You would have that. You'd have number sailed. Sorry.
Now, let me ask you this, Brandon. There was some talk from another ex about the fact that Teresa didn't exactly like to make out with this guy. Did you find that to be true in your relationship?
There was a fair share of making out.
Mm, all right.
There wasn't a rule that said, we're not doing that. Or
all right.
Mm-hmm. And just to work out a little confusion, we got bleeped out a moment ago when I said
seed.
Brandon Seed.
Oh.
We were
discussing reproduction and was talking about how reproduction works, but evidently we had to dump out the part where I was explaining how reproduction works. We now have become our own worst enemies. We talk about this all the time, how the terrorists have won because we're standing in long lines with our shoes under our arms at the airport. The FCC is now officially won because we have a guy who gets $8 an hour who's scared S-less of Jack Silver, who dumps out everything I say. We do it to ourselves now. As a matter of fact, the FCC is basically doing what the terrorists would do if they convinced us to put on explosive vests and blow ourselves up. We're essentially now blowing ourselves up. Thank you. All right, where were we? Sorry, Brandon. Oh, yes, Brusket, you're not supposed to be in here.
Yeah.
He's okay with Brusket.
Right.
Aren't you okay? We talked about this, and you said what, Brandon?
Well, referring to what happened a few weeks ago with the whole bitch bag thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was a situation where...
Oh, where Teresa started crying.
Yeah.
Because Brusket got very aggressive.
Well, I was a little confused by the whole thing because I had only heard, from Teresa, I'd only heard positive things about Jimmy. So I wasn't really expecting some sort of aggression to come, her way because I thought the relationship was kind of...
Positive things about Brusca?
Yeah.
You mean like HIV positive? You don't mean positive.
Brandon, you should know I only have positive things to say about Teresa. Until she did a couple things that irked me and she wound up in the bitch bag. That's what happened to me a couple of times.
It was a thing I felt. I was like, all right, the reaction, whatever provoked the action was one thing, but the actual reaction was a bit over the line, I thought.
Yeah, so Damashek was laughing while Teresa was crying, by the way. Yeah, I don't know if you heard that.
True.
And Dave made her cry.
All right, listen.
That's ancient history.
I'm just saying.
That day, he did send me a text asking which one of his feet he should kick your ass with, Dave.
Did you bring the bat bag, Brandon?
It's in the car.
To bust out to Louisville and go to work on Brusket.
I don't think he'll require a bat to take care of me.
Well, I was talking about Brusket, but I do want to find, and I do want people to call up at 866-901-ADAM and see if we can't get Brandon going. Although, Brandon, it seems like you will have no trouble finding your own dates.
I think the girl before me was a model in New York, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, she's done well for herself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think he has trouble.
But are you ready to go on, Brandon, or is it too soon?
Right now, it feels a bit too soon. It's nothing I'm like rushing in to do. And
you're still in love with Teresa?
You're still in love?
Absolutely.
You are. And were you?
Well,
we
were together for 2.5 years. So I mean, those feelings just don't go away.
I understand, but I was together with my stepmom for 6 years. I couldn't be happier to get out of the goddamn garage I was kept in. So it doesn't always mean. Absolutely. I mean, there is that thing sometimes that people have where we were together for a long time. That's a good reason to want to stay together more. Or for others, it's a great reason to get out. For you, you'd like to have kept it going.
Unfortunately, I mean, the relationship did end. Teresa's one of the kindest, you know, most loving people that I've ever had in my life. And it was a painful thing.
Wow. What happened to you? What'd you do? Was your house growing up close to some high power lines or something?
Very close.
He's from the south.
I see. Yes. You got scrambled early. So you're heartbroken over this. Were you surprised when she told you the news? You must have been caught off guard.
No, we were,
Well, I did throw some of his stuff on the lawn.
Oh, I see.
It wasn't like the sit down and have a talk breakup.
Threw stuff on the
Literally
lawn.
Literally threw his property
that
on
was,
the lawn.
That was the first time.
Yeah, the first time. Second time was a calmer.
Why did you throw stuff on the lawn?
He needed to go.
It was a rough week.
I've never seen that in anything but in a movie.
It was a bad week.
Best part was the computer bag filled with the work laptop. You know, just
on
like
the lawn.
Oh no! There's probably 15 steps in front of the house that you know lead down from the house itself straight onto the sidewalk. I mean, it was like a slow motion movie.
I felt bad about that.
Tumbling.
Well, that's the kind of thing that happens if you get busted for cheating.
It was a long time coming. There was
no
some
cheating.
No cheating.
Hey, buddy. Hey, you know that chick is not bad with the big beats. Yeah, she's affable. He Strasser's bow is in the hizzy. Hey, T. Let you come over here and get a stand-up triple from Stacy.
Just say.
Batting a buck 87 in the over 30 league. Come on, everybody, sit down. Jade, stage four, stage four. Come on out, buddy. Let's rub some stinky stripper perfume and some glitters on you so when you get home, you're proud to throw your laptop out on the porch.
I've never even been to a strip club, have you?
There was once or twice that I was drunk.
We got a break, but
hey, buddy, we got to take a break. Oh.
No, there was no cheating. I did read some things on the email I didn't like, but there was no cheating. But I did. I got revenge on the email by throwing it out the window.
You read my email?
Melanie. Melanie's a dietitian. That means she's got issues, but is great in the sack. Melanie?
Yes?
You'd like to date Brandon?
I'd like to date Brandon.
Well, hang on a second. How old are you?
I'm 31.
31, and you're a dietitian?
Yes.
So you're obviously in good shape?
Yes.
All right. Because if Big Tad rolled in and said he was my dietitian...
He'd be concerned.
That's right. All right, hang on a second. Be like if a fireman showed up to the house on fire.
Right, or a doctor showed up smoking.
That's right. He sat down on your sofa and caught the sofa on fire. All right, hang on a second, Melanie.
Okay.
Because we're going to try to put Brandon back together again. All right. Teresa Strasser in here with Brandon, her ex. Wounds still fresh, but took a lot of courage to come up and speak openly about it. We'll continue with that. We'll see if we can't find him a date. All that coming up on the Adam Carolla Show.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, we make fun of Mike August by saying Doogie Howser and Molly Ringwald's sister, but we have Ryan Seacrest hairstylist, Ron Popeil.
Mike Birbiglia,
Eddie Pepitone. I mean, they're not all B-listers. No
Some of
way.
Them are Q.
That's right. Brandon, how are you holding up, my friend?
I'm doing all right.
Brandon is Teresa's ex-beau. She dumped him.
Well,
and Brandon is hurt.
Well,
and he's still in love.
Listen, my theory is women don't ever dump men. Men do things that they know they shouldn't do, and
nice.
Then they force you to dump them.
Yeah, Hitler had that same thing with the Jews. The Germans don't kill Jews. Jews do things that bring it on, and that's what happens.
I had a final solution, too, and it involved dumping his stuff on the lawn.
Well, really, now, you know what I love about guys? Even the nice ones eventually can be pigs in a relationship. You must have done something, Brandon, that warranted that.
Well, I think... Teresa does like nice guys, and I mm-hmm. think that's why we got along well for so long. And there was a time when, from moving from New York to L.A., I think some of my nice guy stuff wore off a bit. I was, you know, the move was tough, the new job was tough, the mm-hmm. relocation, lack of friends, family. Mm-hmm. So I was acting out a bit toward her. So it was, she didn't see me as much of a nice guy all the time.
I see. And
so
that's she threw all your crap on the lawn.
She had problems with, you know me acting out.
He gets a little snappy sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But now it strikes me, because of Teresa's past, that there's a lot of good things that can come of it, but also she could be tough in a relationship too. There's issues with stepmom, issues with papa.
There are some, you know, past childhood stuff that kind of comes up.
Right.
And she has some of that stuff going on.
But I'm tough on the outside only.
I think most people do. Teresa is tough on the outside. She wears her heart on her sleeve. She's a little bitty old thing and has this huge heart. And mm-hmm. you know, her emotions are often, you know, she wears them on her sleeve.
And if you had your druthers, you two would be back together.
Right now, no. Because what's happened over the last 2 months, I wouldn't trade for anything. Because there's some time.
Oral from strangers?
Absolutely.
What's going on?
Well, we needed a break. We needed there was a pattern that had developed
now
within
again,
the relationship.
I'm talking about my scrotum. We need some time apart.
We need time to think.
We're in therapy. Things like that.
The three of us needed a break.
I see. You needed a break.
And, you know, it's been a good 2 months, you know. Mm. I've learned a lot about the relationship that I wasn't listening, you know, to her while we were in the relationship. Arguments, things like that.
Well, it is true. It's your time. It's your time out to reassess. The problem is you don't get a second chance sometimes.
Absolutely.
And you wouldn't mind a second chance.
Well,
I know you have your pride, but be honest. You wouldn't mind a second chance.
I think for what we put into the relationship and where we wanted the relationship to end up, I think that's fair to say I wouldn't mind. Mm.
Have you seen my beautiful assistant, Lindsay, roaming the halls?
No, I haven't.
She's the leggy blonde.
He doesn't like blondes.
Walking around there.
Adam, give Brandon Lindsay. Yeah.
She's not chattel, first of all. Second of all, Brandon will not date a blonde.
I'm not a blonde guy.
Here's
You're
good
not,
news
not
for anyone guy. Interested in dating Brandon. Nothing. You can take a look at him at adamcarolla.com. His picture is now online.
Wow.
Well, look, we all have our preferences, but we can all agree when a woman is beautiful, she's beautiful. I think you can agree that Assistant Lindsay's beautiful.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
And let's put it this way. There's certain people that have certain proclivities. They like blondes or they don't like blondes. There's certain ethnicities people are attracted to. I haven't dated too many black women, but there's a beautiful black woman I definitely would date her. This is a beautiful blonde woman.
I've dated blondes in the past and, you know, a few. And I'm a brunette guy.
All right.
That's kind of my little hitch.
All right. I'm not talking about your pubes. I'm talking about dating. Talking about dating beautiful Lindsay. Lindsay?
Well, you're giving half the population, you're giving half of women no chance. There's
right.
so many beautiful, smart blondes.
Yeah.
Out there.
What if Morgan Fairchild wanted to date you, huh, Buster? I bet you'd change your mind pretty quick.
And Lindsay is both beautiful and smart, but it would be a bit awkward. Yeah, and Lindsay
coming up. Sex, sluts, and ecstasy.
Yes, it would. That's why we'd like to do it. Well, Brandon, I mean, you want to take a look at the goods?
I love sports. I heard you work in sports.
I do work in sports.
She's a sports fanatic. Who's your team, Lindsay?
Sorry to say, the New York Jets.
I'm
a Giants fan.
Have something to talk about.
My dad's a Giants fan.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
Her dad, who, by the way, is not gay, but when I was asking her about your father, and she explained, well, he's a florist, and, of course, he's had some trouble with his partner. After about 10 minutes of that, I just assumed he was gay, but turns out
no,
a straight florist who has a partner.
Decorator. Yeah.
Yes, that's what it was. It was like one of these things out of a sitcom. What's your dad do? Florist? Oh, I see. How's that going? Well, he's having a little problem with his partner. His partner's an interior decorator. Oh, I understand.
And then Mr. Burley walked in.
Very progressive. God bless you. You seem very well adjusted. That went on for a few weeks before I realized he was, in fact, straight. Melanie?
Yes.
What color's your hair?
I am a brunette.
Ooh,
score.
Touch of red hint in there.
Oh, he likes red. His mom's a redhead.
Wow. Thanks, T.
That's brunette.
That's weird stuff.
Come on, people like, you know.
You got to weave his mom into the story when you're trying to
no
set
one
him
likes
up.
That.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't help you out there.
Hold on a second, Dave. What was that? I don't even know what that was. You know what that was?
I personally don't really have a problem with admiring your mother. And
he's yeah, close
no,
to his mom.
You'd like to weave your mom into the sack, right, about the story. And when I say sack, I mean, oh, wait a minute. All right, where were we? Yeah, so describe yourself, Melanie.
I'm 5'10".
Mm. Oh.
I am very athletic looking. I'm 135.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 5'10", that's a good height. That's
mm-hmm.
a good weight.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly muscle.
Mm-hmm. 31 years of age.
31.
Dietitian.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Scale of 1 to 10, what do you give yourself?
I'd say probably an 8, but everyone thinks my butt's a 10.
Wow. Oh, nice.
I'm definitely, if you're a leg and ass man, I'm a woman.
Brandon's an ass man. I know, because Brusket said he's an ass man when we're out in the hall. You hit the wrong syllable, but I understood what he meant. Well, Brandon, perhaps, is it too soon? I see beautiful assistant Lindsay standing here. If you could deny her, it seems like you could deny anybody. It seems like you're not ready. Are you ready to try again?
There is a bit of truth to that. I think it is a little too soon, but I have heard that Teresa's accepting dates here from the show.
Uh-oh. Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's not
maybe
it's not such a bad thing.
Who can play at that game?
Teresa, you know how uncomfortable I get in uncomfortable situations.
I get more uncomfortable.
I would ask that you accept his generous offer for a date, and then kindly decline when you get in the parking lot after the goddamn show and I'm at
okay,
home.
Done okay, done and done.
Could you please do that?
Yes.
So you guys will be going out?
Brandon and I? Oh, we'll be getting back together?
Well.
If it's going to stop any hurt feelings so you'll feel better about it, yes.
Mm.
But no.
Wait a minute, I'm still uncomfortable. This isn't working out. Brandon, that hardly sounded like an endorsement. Are you here to ask Teresa out again?
No, I was just here. I'm here because you guys asked me to come in, and I'm a big fan of the show, and I'm a big fan of Teresa's work, and I wanted to come in and help you guys out this week.
But if she said, let's go out Saturday night, you would gladly accept.
We would probably end up doing something Saturday night.
Mm-hmm. T?
Can't.
But it depends on what the premise is of that date. It's, let's go out Saturday to get back together. No, probably not.
But that would be implied. I mean, there'd be no reason to go out unless she had more junk ears to throw out on the lawn, perhaps.
Which she may.
Is there anything left in the sock drawer she can dump out the window?
There's probably a thing.
T, you don't want to take a step backward. You feel like it'd be a step backward for you?
I think he's a great guy. Any woman would be incredibly lucky to have him, but
except
it just
you.
Didn't work out.
Mm, all right.
Didn't work out.
Moving forward.
Well, so
I
Brandon,
do love him.
Will you accept a date, though, because your picture is now on the website, if someone desirable telephones in or writes in, will you go on a date with them?
I think that'd be the response. I'd have to see the
okay,
response.
Okay, good. So please include a picture when you email them.
But I do love Brandon, for the record. I would take a bullet for him. He's a great human being, and he's like family to me, but it's over.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
He knows.
All right, Brandon. I'm sorry. I've been there.
She's told me several times.
Been there myself, and there is just... there's nothing worse. But here's my words of advice to you and anyone else who's going through this, because I've been dumped many time and found it devastating. Of course, I was a little younger than you are, Brandon. But point is, devastated, and there's nothing worse. I mean, you would much rather you had a broken, fibula than actually be dumped and have this gnawing at your heart. You'll never feel better. Only time will heal that, but the important thing is to get on with your life, even if you're physically just going through the motions of life. Meaning, you'll get broken up with, you'll get dumped, you'll feel like fried hell, and you may not feel right for 6 months or maybe a year. You don't want to look back on that year 5 years from now and realize you spent that year drinking and feverishly masturbating.
Brandon, and Adam, you'll like this. Brandon happened to tune in one day when you were diagnosing my problem and felt that you had been reading his mind and that I do think too much. Yes, Brandon?
Well, I was trying not to listen to the show because I realized it was a bit unhealthy after the breakup. So I was tuning in every once in a while. It's like just to make sure she was okay. It's like, what's her voice sound like? Mm-hmm. And I popped in one day and it was you guys were just coming back from a break. And Adam, you were like, Teresa, let me tell you what you
do. My nasally voice. it'll be funny.
It'll be southern.
But you addressed some of the problems that you thought Teresa would have in a relationship. Mm-hmm. And I'm driving down the road on the way to work, and my eyes are misting up. I'm like, this guy's worked with her for a few months, and he's totally pegged some issues that I've had with her over the past, couple of years, and I haven't been able to communicate to her.
Well, so
it was,
I know.
It was pretty...
I think too much, you say.
Well, it's not that you think too much. It's that sometimes we're guys, and guys don't... We just react. We, you respond to something, you scream, or it's not necessarily directed at the woman. But,
yes. Yeah, yeah.
But Teresa's intelligent enough to spin it into her own.
But Teresa, your high IQ mixed with a somewhat troubled past makes for bad relationships.
Yep. Broken childhood plus maybe high IQ equals your stuff on the lawn.
That's right. That's what you need. You see my dog, Molly? Where is she? That's
She's
what you need.
Gorgeous.
I need a Molly.
Blonde lab, by the way.
Oh, there
we
FYI.
Go. But that's what you need. Look at her tail wagging. Happy to be alive. Look at Brandon.
She is blonde.
Best
though.
Buddy.
I know.
You can get a chocolate lab. There you go.
Sweet. Please, have sex with my dog. All right. We need to take ourselves a break. Brandon, very courageous. And if you're willing to love again... We can you can hop on AdamCarolla.com, see a picture of Brandon. I got to tell you, he is a tall, successful drink of water. Any woman would be lucky, any sane woman would be lucky to have him. T.
Yes.
What's in the news?
Well, speaking of sane, if you paid money for A Million Little Pieces, that James Fry book, you could get your money back for real. And also, a surprise host for the Oscars this year. I'll tell you more about that.
That and more coming up in the Adam Carolla Show.
Call 866-901-ADAM. We'll be right back with more of The Adam Carolla Show. Adam Carolla. Thursday, September 14th, The Adam Carolla Show is hitting the road.
Doing the morning show at night.
Illegally cross the border and come and see us in San Diego. Thursday, September 14th at 6 p.m. at the Wave House in Mission Beach.
I'd be loved by everyone in San Diego.
Chargers, Sean Merriman, Tony Hawk, the Deaf Frat Guy, David Alan Greer. It's going to be awesome. And if you're not there...
Go f*** yourself, San Diego.
Plus, San Diego's own Ask Kiss Rodeo Contest with a $1,000 grand prize. Brought to you by Playboy TV and Spice On Demand. Call your cable provider to get it today. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, indeed, indeed. San Diego, less than a week. We will be playing some Ask Kiss Rodeo. We have a former Vegas Ask Kiss Rodeo champion, Zach, on the line.
The reigning world champion.
That's right. Zach?
Yes, sir, Mr. Carolla.
Well, you are the champion of the Southwest or wherever the hell we did it last, but eventually we'll put everyone together and we will have a champion. It will declare an overall champion. It's sort of like Miss USA versus Miss Universe.
Right.
Looking forward to being in your presence again, Adam.
Oh, it begins.
You got to stay sharp. There's no off season when you're on the professional ass kiss circuit like Zach is. Zach won hands down some months back in Vegas, and I don't know who's going to beat him, but we're going to find out who the San Diego champion is come Thursday. Yes, Prescott?
Yeah, starting next week, we'll get some callers from San Diego who will be in San Diego on next Thursday when we're there, and we're going to get two finalists, and $1,000 is on the line.
Ooh.
And Zach's already won $5,000 doing this, and I'm wondering what he did with the money.
What did you do with the money, Zach?
The first thing I did was I made a Adam Carolla Ask Kiss Rodeo shrine in my garage.
Nice.
I look at lovingly every day on my way to and from work.
The mailman walks past it every morning and goes, what's this kid's obsession with Greg Brady?
And I tell him, sir, you are not worthy to look upon the name of Adam Carolla. You must avert your eyes as you deliver my mail.
That's right. That's right. I like that.
Zach is still sharp.
No accident that he's the world champion.
He's awesome.
Yes. And Zach, you, I believe... I believe we presented you with the Ask Kiss Rodeo belt buckle like you would win if you won the bull riding championship, right?
Yes, sir. That is surrounded by candles in my garage, only to be framed by the Ask Kiss Rodeo Championship check, which is hanging on the wall.
Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We will eventually go from city to city, from affiliate to affiliate. We'll have a champ in each city, and then we'll bring you all together for some huge battle royale tournament. And I can only imagine what the winner's going to win, because we're giving out $5,000 over here, $1,000 over there. This is going to be some big bucks when the time comes. You'll be the odds-on favorite, Zach, but who knows who we'll meet in San Diego.
Well, Mr. Carolla, all I can say is if there was a way that I could get you to book on your own show, I would definitely win the $10,000 for that contest, because there is no greater celebrity than you.
So you're saying if I book myself on the Adam Carolla show, I could win the $10,000. I like that.
You'd all be right. able to write yourself a check, yes, sir, because no one would be able to top Adam Carolla on his own show.
Well, you're a brown-nosing juggernaut, Zach. God love you, and keep sharp, my brother. We'll see you soon. Great Zach, winner of the Ask Kiss Rodeo Vegas. T.
Yes.
Was that uncomfortable with Brandon?
Well, no. It was a little bit.
Seemed
I feel
like
a little bit bad.
Fella.
He really wanted to go out with you again.
He's a great guy. You could do no better. He's the nicest guy you could meet. Am I right, Dave?
He seemed, yeah, terrific.
But Dave really actually nice. Made a very good point, which is when you move to a new city, sometimes you take it out on the person you move
for.
Yes,
when you move to a city and you don't have any friends, and then your girlfriend is now put into the place of making you friends. Mm-hmm. You know, well, you left your old friends, but I have friends, and now they should be your friends.
Yes.
Now you hate those people.
Yes.
They're not as good as my friends.
Yes.
You know, and
yes.
then you become pathetic like an 11-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Now you're living with your mother. Who's reprimanding you? Pick yourself up by your bootstraps.
I have to have that uncomfortable conversation with my wife about 3 times a year when she goes, why is it I get along with all your friends? I'm always willing to hang out with your friends. When you and Jimmy are doing this, I come to that. When you and the Wees are doing that, I'm gladly, whatever. But when it comes to my friends, I'm like, your friends are stupid. But
my friends are cool.
Yeah.
You actually say your friends are stupid.
I don't say stupid, but I sort of read, let's say, Jimmy's resume
right
next to my wife's best friend's husband's resume, and it quickly becomes embarrassing.
He doesn't have a late night talk show?
No.
What does he have?
Well, what he has a ponytail.
Oh no.
What he has and a Camry.
But the point is, they're her friends.
I don't care. I give her the life's too short, and then I explain to her how fascinating I am and how right. you have to earn it. And then she gets very angry. And then I say, what? What? I like that part. What?
That's the end of the conversation. What?
What? And I look around. I look to my right. I look to my left. I look
what?
Right. And then I look down at Molly. And I go, what? Then I raise my voice. What?
That's
the second. First one's a low what. What? Second one, I go up a few octaves. What? And she's walking away. And then the third one is loud so she can hear me because she's in the distance. What?
What?
So there are 3 whats.
3 whats. Yeah, like my Miho.
Right.
Yeah.
The first what is just what?
First what is just a regular what, not too defensive. Second, voice
Miho!
Cracking. Hi. Third one loud so she can
Miho?
Hear me as the door slamming in the bedroom.
Miho!
Those are my 3 Mijos.
I have that.
3 whats and 3 Mijos. And if you want to go Spanish, I'll go K. K? 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 Goes nicely with the Mijos.
Look, I don't speak Spanish.
Where were we, T?
News.
Yes.
I will make this very, very fast, as we are running short on time. James Fry and his publisher, Random House, have come to a tentative agreement. If you bought his so-called memoir, A Million Little Pieces, you can get your bucks back. If you bought the book before January 26, when he admitted that parts of it were fake, you send in your paperback cover or hardback. You send in page 163 and a sworn statement. You thought it was a memoir. You get your money right back. Now, in entertainment news.
Listen.
Yes.
If I was Random House, first off, that's a horrible name for anything.
Random House.
I don't care if you're selling sushi or books or your gay bar. Random House. Weird name. I don't care if you're Joe Random. Random House, horrible name. But if I was Random House, I would collect all the mail that came in with page 163 in the sworn affidavit, and I would just send over my goon squad to put these people out of their misery. And I would explain when the guy with the wraparound Wayfarers on and the pork pie hat was putting the gun underneath with the silencer underneath the guy's chin, I would instruct them to say, I'm doing you a favor, and then squeeze the trigger. That's how I would approach this.
Well, to be fair,
here's
random
some
house.
Random violence for you.
Yes. Yes. How big a goddamn loser do you have to be to tear out page 163?
Or to start a class action lawsuit because he made up some stuff about jail and rehab, whatever. It's a good book.
Yes.
And I'm sure Arbitrary House will only lose a couple million bucks off that. Okay, in entertainment news, Ellen DeGeneres will be hosting the Oscars. This is the first time for her. What?
Jon Stewart was so great.
Yeah, Jon Stewart was great last year. And Ellen DeGeneres has previously hosted the Emmys twice. She did a good job. She hosted the Grammys twice also. And it'll be broadcast live from the Kodak Theater February 25th. I'll look forward to seeing Ellen and how she does.
Yeah, I think she'll do a good job.
I smell singing and dancing. That's all I'm saying. I think we can expect that. Okay, one last thing. Last night, while you guys were watching football, I tuned into a little celebrity duets. Now, Hal Sparks, the comedian, I don't know about his comedy, but I can't. I love his voice. I don't know what to tell you. Here's a little bit of Hal Sparks and Wynonna.
It's Wynonna Judd?
I think she's just called Wynonna, but it is Judd, yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The only guy gayer than Bill the Bordon, Hal Sparks.
You think he's gay?
Hal Sparks. Oh, you're kidding, right, Babydoll?
No, I'm serious.
No, he does not. Yeah, he considers himself straight. The rest of the world considers him gay.
Someone's got to tell his penis.
No, I've actually met him, and I saw him hitting on a girl.
I've seen him out with two women, as a matter of fact. On separate occasions, I've seen him out with women.
Hold on, Brian.
He was on Loveline telling you for an hour and a half that he was straight.
You don't remember?
I'm sorry, I tune out. I believe what I believe, and that's it.
I wish you weren't a liar.
Wow. So not gay.
No, I don't believe so. Three of us in here have evidence to the contrary. You listened to him for an hour and a half, but...
I shut my ears and only believe what I want to believe.
Well, I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Believe what you want, Carolla. The Steelers are back, baby.
Yeah, he who bets on the opponent.
I didn't bet. I predicted. I was trying to keep it real. Anyway, whatever I said, I thought that maybe Chaz Batch wasn't up to the task. Right. I was wrong. Listen, either way, it was a magical affair in an enchanted land called Pittsburgh. The NFL season kicked off in grand fashion. 28-17, the world champions defeated the pretender Miami Dolphins. The game really swung on Chaz Batch's third quarter touchdown pass to Heath Miller, which was followed soon after by an interception by Joe Porter.
So Miami does not have a timeout, but they can stop the clock at the two-minute warning. They have plenty of time here to get down the field, and then Joey Porter picks it off. So you have Polamalu picking off one, Porter picks off the other, touchdown Pittsburgh.
I always feel bad for the quarterback because he's always the last guy between the end zone and the 250-pound screaming black man who's running with what was his football. So he always, not only does he give away the pick for the TD brought to the house, but inevitably gets driven into the rear pylon of the end zone by a fat lineman who's barreling down and can't stop his own momentum. It's sad. It's one thing to give up the pick. It's another thing to end up on your back in the first row to get up to watch the guy celebrate.
Yes, he was flattened, and Joey Porter got to laugh at him as he crossed the goal
line. That's right.
You down there, you threw the ball. Now, what happened then after the celebration was Joe Porter went to the sideline and he kissed Bill Cowher. Now, some creepy people say there was, that was untoward behavior
for
a football player and a coach to engage in. But Andrea Kramer brought it up to him on the sidelines just after, and he straightened her out.
It was a great play, but what are you doing kissing your head coach?
Listen up and listen well. I like dames and dames like me. I ain't no fancy lad. Nancy boy, panty waist, confirmed bachelor, sweet, and so on. Excuse me. Hello? Mr. Sheldrake. It's my life partner, Mr. Sheldrake. I know a lady reporter. What will they think of next? Right here on TV? Very well. Good day. All right, Toots, pucker up and lose the brassiere. I'm going to clean your pipes, but good.
Joe Porter, the most feared man in the NFL, according to Sports
Illustrated. I heard that interview, too. It's just when you're looking at him, I guess the voice changes in your head. Fred Rogan is on the line. If you grew up out here in Southern California like I did, this man is a hero. Well, he invented Rogan's Heroes. Fred?
Adam, what's going on?
Good to talk to you, Fred. Fred, I'm confused because I see you on television now, and you look the same as you did when I was in high school watching you on TV 20-something years ago. How long have you been on television here in Southern California?
26 years.
Wow. 26 years.
It's not easy in that business.
And looks brand new. 15 regional Emmy Awards, by the way. I just leave the regional part off when I'm trying to date, if I were you, Fred. I'd just say 15 Emmys. So what's coming up? What are we talking about?
Adam, this is very cool, and I appreciate you having me on this morning.
Our pleasure.
We're doing a new show. We're doing a new show, and it's going to follow Sunday Night Football. It's never been tried before anywhere in local television. It's called The Challenge, and basically it has Rogan's Heroes, which you watched growing up, and the Hall of Fame, those franchises. But what it is there are game elements that allow you to interact. We ask questions with four answers, and you watching at home are the contestants. You play on your cell phone, or you play online.
And what can you win?
Well, at the end of the 15 weeks, you can win a new truck, you can win a trip to Hawaii, a trip to an NFL game, DirecTV and service.
Hawaii, huh?
For a year. Oh, yeah.
Come on, Brian.
Let's play this. Hawaii. Yay. Yay. I want to go to Hawaii.
He can play. He's in.
Yeah. So this is going to be
weekly winners, too. So if you don't win a grand prize, there are 25 winners a week. And all you have to do is answer the questions correctly in the quickest amount of time, and you'll win.
So this will be every Sunday night for the entire football season.
Yeah, and it starts this Sunday.
All right. Well, we'll be watching on NBC in L.A. Fred Rogan, thank you very much.
The Challenge.
I appreciate you having me, guys. Be good.
Our pleasure. 26 years.
Wow.
I guess I was watching him when I was in high school, and he's just one of these guys. He never changed his hair. He never changed anything. He didn't go gray, and he doesn't look like he's had any work done. He's just been anchoring sports for 26 years.
Dave Dameshek's number one sports.
All right, we will take ourselves a quick break, and we'll be right back with dear, dear friend from the Family Guy, Alex Borstein.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. From Mad TV and the Family Guy, Alex Borstein.
I promise no more drinking.
Hey, I'm not your bitch. I'm not cute. I'm sexy. And like me too.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, dear, dear friend Alex Borstein back in studio. Good to see you again, Alex.
Oh, so good to be seen.
Alex and I met 15 years ago?
Something like that.
14, 15
we were
years
12.
Ago. She yelled at me in my own kitchen of my own apartment when I was throwing a party.
Really? What'd you yell at him about? I don't know. Were you extinguishing cigarettes and raw chicken? Was that you or was that my husband?
I think that was Doug, your husband.
Well, it happens.
No stranger to the herb. Maybe we can introduce him to Dawson after the show. They can talk about their love of Mary Jane. Yeah, all I remember is I threw a party in my apartment, and Alex was in there, and I walked in the kitchen. She started yelling at me.
Oh, it was in your apartment.
It was in my house. Yeah,
I think it was something like clean up, get a job. I don't remember.
Well, this is my apartment, you know.
I think I have pictures. Maybe I'll post them on my site.
Please. What would that site be?
AlexBorstein.com.
Alex and I met, about 14, 15 years ago over at the Acme Theater. I'm trying to think of how we did it. I guess I was there first, and then you came in, right?
You were there first. You built the place, literally and figuratively.
Yes, I physically built the old Acme Theater over.
Yeah, actually, put the wood in.
Yes, over in NoHo, North Hollywood, which was a dump at the time, but has now sort of had a renaissance.
It's really, it's a microcosm of just our careers in general, isn't it?
Yes, we're blossoming, just so like beautiful. The trees that were young saplings planted on Lancashire Boulevard. Yeah. And Alex, so you went from Acme, and was Mad TV the first break for you?
Well, first it was writing. It was like Pinky and the Brain and Casper, and then it was Mad TV.
And then Family Guy.
Well, actually, yeah, then Family Guy, and then Gilmore Girls, and then hardcore pornography.
Yeah.
That's usually the road from Gilmore Girls.
Yeah.
Alex does the voice of Lois Griffin.
I certainly do.
Also, Trisha Takanawa, Asian reporter.
I'm standing here with Adam Carolla.
How's that?
And Loretta Brown, who's the neighbor's wife, right?
Mm-hmm. She's a big old black woman.
I thought you had to get black women to do black women, otherwise you'd get into trouble.
You have to have someone that understands, you know, having a lot of back, having a lot of junk in the trunk. That's the only, that's the SAG rule.
So if you're a spindly white chick, you can't do a black woman. But
that
if you got
correct.
A little junk in the trunk, then you get a pass from the sisters.
Exactly.
We were talking about how funny it might be if Miss Swan was interested in Brandon Teresa's ex. Did you see him? He's a tall. Yes, this is Teresa, and that's a. Bro, is that?
Oh, the ex is gone.
Oh, I thought that was Brandon leaving just now. Brandon's goofy doppelganger just walked down the halls and mentioned his name, but it wasn't him.
No, he's at least 25 minutes into the carbon monoxide poisoning.
We're going to find him out in the parking structure with a hose going from the tailpipe of his car.
I think he's
going to
bounce back. This is your ex? Yeah, my ex.
It would be a feather in your cap if he killed himself, though, right?
Sure, yeah, but...
I wish some of my exes would kill themselves. It'd be, you know, it's nice. I can't go on
ultimate
without
victory.
You. Yeah, throwing themselves off a bridge.
Is that a call to action, Adam?
Yes. If you're within the sound of my voice and you dated me in the 80s or early 90s, please toss yourself off a building.
Male by the way, female.
Leave a note.
Yes.
That mentions Adam Carolla.
That's right. Can't go on. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but not worth going on. There's no sun. There's
it was
you know,
so
that
big.
Better angle.
P.S.
Ruined. Perpetually scrambled from the inside out.
Right. Nothing will be the same again.
Yes.
Well, Alex does Ellen DeGeneres, who's going to be hosting the Oscars.
Well, now let's be careful with our words.
I'm sorry.
Alex does Ellen DeGeneres. Yeah, I did an Ellen DeGeneres on Mad TV. I would dare say, I don't know if it works without seeing...
Well, you know what? I'm going to close my eyes, and I would ask all the people that are in their cars right now on their way to work to join me.
To close their eyes.
Closing their eyes, and again, ask all the ex-girlfriends to kill themselves with a lengthy and provocative note. Close your eyes, and let's see if we hear Ellen DeGeneres.
Well, Portia, okay, here's the thing.
Her Porsche was ironically rear-ended the other day on Sunset
Porsche's
Boulevard.
Porsche. Her Porsche or her girlfriend
Ellen
Porsche?
Ellen DeGeneres drives a Porsche 911.
And she drives a Porsche to Rossi.
Yes. Good stuff. I think I get credit for that. That's good stuff.
You bet it right, too.
All right, we're gonna close our eyes.
Yes.
And we're going to hear Ellen DeGeneres.
You know, I welcome you into my home, Portia, and we you know, I'm doing all the chewing. Terrific. I'll keep chewing. Okay.
I
could hear it. That
I
was
could
pretty good.
If you picture her, you put her in your mind's eye.
I don't know. It's very dependent upon the.
I'm going to invite you to my Oscar party.
Really?
Yes, but only if you wear a blonde wig and some flats.
Does the Oscar party could just consist of you and me and a box of milk bones?
Yes, it's an Oscar party in my pants.
When I walked in, I saw a box of dog treats and I was almost offended.
No, those weren't for you. Those were from my beautiful Molly. Molly.
Molly, who has not left your side for three
Molly,
and a half hours.
Molly, get up and... Well, now she's scratching herself. All right, we need to take a break. Alex Borstein in studio. Family Guy. I think I did a voice for them just last week.
There is an Adam Carolla character doll.
Oh, there is.
Oh,
that's
really?
Right. Yes, there's a death doll, and I think I signed several thousand death cards.
Yes, I sold them.
A few weeks back. Alex Borstein from The Family Guy. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
There's more Adam Carolla coming up.
The Adam Carolla Show, eh, poser?
The Adam Carolla Show. Doogie Howser from Back to the Future. Molly Ringwald's sister. It's not a straight-to-video movie from the 80s. It's some of our talent booker, Mike August's guests.
Your last booking was a ficus plant from the lobby.
Outbook August in September.
You get Denzel Washington in studio and he plays a spirited round of Ask Us Rodeo, you're going to shoot to the top of our chart.
Outbook August in September and win $10,000.
It's 10 grand of my money.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Oh, interesting. You know, we talked about celebrities booking themselves. Alex is already on the show. Alex Borstein in studio from The Family Guy. Season premiere Sunday, 9 o'clock on Fox. You probably know some pretty... You did a movie with Halle Berry.
I did a film. We like to say a film.
A film, it was, yes. Catwoman is no movie.
That's right, a fine film called Catwoman.
It's a film, and I've seen it.
Yes.
You were both stellar in it. Do you have her home number?
I have her phone number. I think it's a cell number, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like to think of Catwoman as a near miss. Like, it had nudity, it almost was a showgirls.
That, yeah.
Almost could have been
that's a cult classic.
Yes.
Campy cult classic, but not quite bad enough.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's the whole thing. You want to go bad, you got to go bad. Yeah. Otherwise, you got to go good. Here's what movies are like. It's like the surf at the ocean. What you want to do is either want to be on the sand or you want to swim out past the waves. If you stay in the middle, you'll get pummeled.
Right, or take a spill.
Take
a spill and drown like one of your exes.
Well, all I'm saying is if you produce, for instance, Halle Berry on this radio show, you will get $10,000.
Interesting. Is that how it works?
That's how it works. Now, you can tell Halle you're going to give it to the Pasadena Humane Society or whatever charity she's into.
I could lie to Halle.
Yeah. You and your beautiful husband, Doug, could just smoke that 10 grand.
Wow. Think of all the raw chicken we could buy with that.
Over the weekend, yeah.
You
I'm
know,
putting
Ashtray.
It out there.
I'm going to go ahead and pretend I'm going to look into that for you.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of that?
All right. Please look into it. All right. Alex Borstein again from The Family Guy. I play the death, the character of death occasionally on The Family Guy. I think
and
we
do refer to it as the death.
The death.
Yes.
We have a clip of that, I believe.
Okay. I told you, the beach is a perfect place to pick up chicks. And I want you to go over there and ask those girls if you can play.
Hey, can I join you?
I guess. What's your name?
Josh.
Do you, like, live around here?
No, I live with my mom.
Yeah, then a beach ball hit me, my leg came off, and I fell flat on my face.
It's hard to tell which one's you. But I think, you know, yeah.
I don't know if you do this with Seth MacFarlane, who does the voice of Peter, but he reads with you when you do the voice, but He mails it in. You know, he doesn't do the real voice because it's not him that's being recorded. You're being recorded in the sound booth. He's in the other room behind the glass, and he just reads his part so you can act and react. But I always say, give me 100%. Come on, Seth.
You're a consummate professional. That's what we refer to you as, the De Niro of the booth.
That's right. And he always laughs maniacally when I tell him that because I guess he does mail it in most of the time.
I like that we have Alex in here to talk about The Family Guy and we play a clip of you.
Thank you.
You know what? I was in that.
Oh, you're kidding?
I was in that clip too.
I really mean it.
That was me playing the girl.
So it
was both of us. We shared them all.
How dare you, David?
I was exalting you.
That's
Adam.
Going in your file, buddy.
Shut up.
Please finish the rest of that. Oh, we can't finish the rest of that. All right. So, Alex, Family Guy, sixth season?
Yeah, isn't that incredible?
Well, yeah, because season six aired. It was off for 2 years. How long was it off? And then the whole Adult Swim thing brought it back.
Something like that. Yeah, we were canceled for like 2 or 3 years. I like to think of it as like the second coming of Christ. Like, I'm a Jew, but I imagine this is what it was like. If, like, Jesus came back. You know, we came back, we rose from the dead, and...
So did Peter Griffin.
We had sex with hookers. Isn't that what Jesus did?
Now, I don't know. I know he was a carpenter, and I know he gouged the elderly, but okay. That's about it.
All right.
It must that's be, all I know.
I think Old Testament.
Stinky prostitute.
He turned water into wine. No, I think he said that you shouldn't throw stones at the hookers.
Because that's
if
right.
You were without, unless you were without sin.
Throw your stones in the hookers.
I see. All right. Well, we'll be watching, as we always do, Sunday night, 9 o'clock. Fox.
Gay.
Season premiere of The Family Guy. Thanks, Alex Borstein.
Thanks for having me.
And speaking of friends, my buddy Ray is going to call up and put the final touches on his date with Teresa Strasser this weekend. That after this.
We'll be right back with more of The Adam Carolla Show.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show.
Well, Brandon, be damned. Teresa's ready to date again.
Yeah. Gotta move on.
Brandon may not be ready to date again, and neither is Teresa, at least not Brandon. Did you do... I've never had the guts to use this one, but my all-time favorite drop line. I came up with it. I've just never had the huevos to use it. Perhaps I should get divorced just so I can use this
Please
line.
Please don't. I love Lynette.
I want to say to somebody... It's not you, it's me. I don't like you. That would be awesome.
Good.
Perhaps you and my buddy Ray can stay together long enough for one of you to use that line on each other. Ray?
Yeah.
Ray, you tried to call me a couple of times yesterday.
Yeah.
I was worried that it might be bad news, so I didn't answer the phone.
Yeah, thanks.
What's happening, Ray? You and T going out this weekend?
Looks that way.
Are you? You don't sound excited.
Well, listen, it's not you.
What's
it's
the
me?
Oh, nicely
touché.
Done.
Now, what's the deal, Ray? You're free and single, right?
Well, yeah. Okay.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Ray.
What?
How could you?
Are you dating somebody, Ray?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought your mistress was always the Port of Sand.
No, I mean, come on, you know.
You're dating someone?
Yeah.
I don't know. Ray, you date young girls all the time. They're in and they're out. Who the hell knows what's going on with you? Hey, buddy! Hey. Everyone may want to don their slicker and put their goggles on. Here comes my buddy Ray. I'll tell you, the ass is going to hit more in the fan. It may hit some of the strippers.
I can't believe that not unlike the time that he threw crap in your ear, he just crapped all over this bit, too.
And also, he just pooped on my hopes and dreams.
Well, you know, it's time to get honest, right?
What is going on, Ray? Are you in a serious relationship?
Absolutely.
Oh.
No, well, Brandon can pull the hose out of his mouth.
You mean you asked me out for this Saturday night on the air, and now you're going back to tell me that you're already dating what's possibly a stripper?
Well, listen, you got to understand, my intentions are with Adam, you know?
Mm-hmm. Thanks,
buddy. I'll do anything for him.
Well, listen.
But then to compromise myself on the other end, and I would have, but I decided I can't.
I don't want you to cheat.
First off, compromise yourself in what way, Ray? You have zero integrity. Zero.
He's a two-time eight.
The sad thing is, I turned down plans on Saturday night, and I'm not kidding.
Oh my God!
Yeah, because we had a date. That was kind of rude of you.
Please cry.
I have no integrity. I'm all right.
Look, I went to the Grammys with a Dixie chick when I was in a serious relationship. It was an outing. That's all. Business. Right. Show business. Ray. Explain to your underage concubine that you need to go out with Teresa. Is this a bit of showbiz? It's morning show stuff.
I wouldn't do that. He's taken. I appreciate you being honest.
No, hold on, Teresa. Why? Why not? You won't do that?
You're taken, and I appreciate
Teresa's
you being honest.
Teresa's no, she's no homewrecker.
I don't do that.
Well, there you go. I would have did it for you.
But what if Ray lives in an apartment, not technically a home? He's a renter.
Condo
Does that still
record?
Count? All right, Ray, that's enough out of you.
Wow.
Well, see you in hell, buddy.
Thanks.
All right.
What a shame.
What the hell?
What a way
jerk.
To go into the weekend.
Yeah, I didn't know he was dating anyone.
Apparently he didn't either. He had amnesia.
Yeah. I was thinking to myself, who the hell would go out with Ray whenever I think he might have a girlfriend? Well, T, someone's going to have to service you Saturday night.
Well, look, you know there are 86 sex offenders right within a mile of my house, so I shouldn't have trouble.
That's right. The fruit's hanging low, guys. Right for the picking. Should we take ourselves a little extendo break? Yes. Yes, we should. All right. So what have we learned? Ray's an a-hole. Thank you. That's enough. We're running late. Next week. Oh, who's coming on? Jimmy Kimmel? The Rock? That doesn't sound right. Tara Reid, Bill Simmons, Robert Schimmel. All that. All right. So until next time, it's Adam Carolla saying mahalo.